Earlier, and they weren't here yesterday. They'll be coming in and out. So, but the problem is we can't wait. We have to continue. We couldn't get to the Overberg yesterday, and we've asked them to come back, and they have kindly come back with only a few mutterings. They live close by, and they don't often come to town. So for them, this is a special occasion to be able to come 2 days in a row to the big town with all the lights. It's a big occasion. So thank you for accommodating us. You know the drill. I only need the urgent stuff looked at, and if you can please do so, please do so.
Good morning, Chair, members of the committee. Chair, this is likely to be my penultimate meeting in front of this portfolio committee, and with your permission, I would just like to state a few issues, please. I won't take long.
That's fine.
I'd like to just thank you and the committee and whoever else went before you for the guidance and assistance I've received during my term here as Overberg Chairman. At the same time, I would like to introduce on my left-hand side our new CEO, Mr. Richard Edson, who is a qualified engineer with many years of experience. On my right, Masood Tuta, you all know very well as our financial officer. And next to her, Mr. Sidney Armut, who is our senior operations manager. And I would like to convey my thanks to Mr. Dishpotfita because he's assisting us in achieving a peaceful and easy transition over the next few weeks or so. And finally, Chair, I'd like to tender the apologies of my deputy, Mr. Mpumi Ntshwadi, who is unavoidably delayed out of the country. Thank you. And with that, we will go through the presentation. To a large extent, Chair, we have tried to adhere to the format given to us by the department. And for your information, if you look at the contents page, what you have just referred to, which would probably be items number 4, 11, and 15.
Okay.
At the last meeting, Chair, the issue was raised with regard to bonuses being paid by water boards, and we submitted a complete structured salary report to the department, and I'm happy to report, Chair, that Overberg, in fact, has a policy of not paying bonuses. If you look at the next slide, it gives an indication of the revenue Overberg has available on the left-hand side, and on the right-hand side, what Overberg utilized that revenue for. There is a particular entry that I would like to draw your attention to, which is the last entry on the right-hand side. This is the payment that we would normally make to Dwarf for the takeover of the infrastructure at the three plants that we operate, and we wanted to show what we are using that payment for now that the loan has been written off. From our annual report, the committee will be well aware that Overberg is rather unique, and because of that, we have high labor input, because we have tremendously long distances over which we have to supply small quantities of water and to maintain it at its peak level from the time it enters the pipeline to the time it comes out the other end. That takes quite a considerable amount of gas flow. The audit report 2010-11, once again, Overberg is proud to have achieved an unqualified report. There has been the introduction of a new performance management audit with which we are complying at the moment, but we have not fully complied with it, but from the Auditor General's office, they are happy with the progress we are making. Our CAPEX slide, as you will see, and I'm sure the committee will pick up on this, that we have not actually succeeded in spending the budgeted amount that we try to do. Right? And there are various reasons for this, and if the committee wants more detail other than what appears here, then our financial officer will be happy to provide that detail.
Why didn't we? I see you only spent half. What is the reason?
Okay. The bullet points show quite clearly, Chair, our available capital for infrastructure is very limited. And because of that, our planning has to be done very carefully. And during the course of the year, we have to revise our capital budget from time to time. Then there is also, we have adopted new systems to deal with the new technology that was not budgeted for. Phase one of this is already completed 95%, and we're hoping phase two to be started on soon.
That first bullet point, isn't that problematic? I mean, your tariff, that's why we're here.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't your tariff calculated on the 12 million? Projects that you say you're going to do in the next year.
Perhaps I could ask our financial officer to reply to that.
The capital budget is spent from our reserves that we have in cash and investment. In the income statement where the tariff is derived from, we're looking at just the depreciation, the allowable amount to deduct for infrastructure refurbishment again, and then we also include the payment installment to Department of Water Affairs for the loan. So if we
but I mean, you come here, you tell us you're going to spend 12 million. Then you come back next year, you say, no, I only spent half because we wanted to keep reserves. I mean, if you know you want to keep reserves, why are we told that 12 million is going to be spent?
The one thing is because it's so our capital is so limited, we decided to get an extensive asset management system to help us to identify and prioritize capital projects and. And therefore, as soon as that is complete, we will go in fully with our capital program again.
But can you see the problem?
Yeah, yeah.
You tell the department you're going to spend X amount. You tell us that we say, okay, they Caledon, Bredasdorp, 12 million is going to be invested. Then we come back next year and say, no, but only half has been spent.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just totally creating the wrong impression. And I don't know whether you promised, because we usually ask you what's the money going to be spent on. I don't know if you promised those municipalities you were going to do stuff in which you now didn't, because you only did half of them. But I just foresee this as a big problem. I'll let members ask more questions. But I don't like this approach. I mean, we must be honest. So if we can only spend $6 million because we want to keep reserves, then we must just say to people, we can only spend six. Because that then forces the department to look at your, at you and say, well, you know, is this acceptable? Can we only spend six here? Now we think we're going to spend 12, but then we come back and say, no, we decide to keep reserves. Okay, go ahead.
If we go on to the next slide, the strategic objectives for the year ahead, this is pretty much...
No, leave that, skip that. Go to the next one.
The achievements of objectives in 11-12, of the 13 listed there, which is, sorry, that's the progress achieving objectives 2012. Of the 13 objectives that we outlined, we have actually achieved 9 of them. And we are constantly working on the others. That
which
we need
four
to
didn't
make.
You? This is too small for me to read. Which four is, didn't you?
Bulk supply agreement. Triple B, doubly inkies, and reporting compliance, and water losses. Those are the four that we didn't achieve.
All right, if there are questions, they can be asked.
Okay. The next, the bulk water tariff increases, which, as you state, is why we are here. We have managed to keep the increase in the Heidelberg Slangerfield area to 12.82, in the Caledon area to 9.6. Chair, I think the department is well aware that the tariffs on these should actually be more. The increases, if we are to achieve infrastructure extension and infrastructure maintenance. We are in dire need of infrastructure for refurbishment, and an issue that we need to tackle, which we need the funding for, that I've raised many times, is the fact that we have over 100 kilometers of asbestos piping still operating in the area. It is a major health hazard, and that is something that the department really needs to sit down with us and work out some sort of funding for that project. As a matter of fact, I remember seeing an article in the newspaper where the minister actually confirmed that there is a tremendous shortage of funding for major projects. We've made the necessary adjustments to bulk water increases due to the Eskom electricity hikes. We tried the best we can, but unfortunately, we were not able to give much of a reduction as far as that is concerned. The next slide is where we need to align our policies, our operations, and so in accordance with government requirements.
You can't talk here. I mean, do I go to your lounge and talk in the door? Go ahead.
And perhaps the significant bullet point to note here is three down the outcome seven, which is that our retail client base is largely commercial farmers, and they do provide a significant employment base and food security in the region. We have always been able to meet the requirements of SANS 241, and in many cases, we are currently implementing new technology such as ultrafiltration, and we're currently working on a pilot project with ECA, which is electrical chemical activation. This system we're hoping will ultimately result in water being purified without the addition of much of the chemicals that we are currently using.
Go to the challenges.
Challenges. Our major challenge here is, Chairperson, we need capital for infrastructure refurbishment, and if we don't spend that money on infrastructure, we are likely to impact on service delivery. Perhaps the other one to highlight is bullet point number four. We need to address the increasing demand of the workforce to maintain continuously high service delivery standards and compliance to regulatory, legal, and audit requirements. We have an extensive training program at Overberg. Unfortunately, as you commented yesterday, sometimes once people are trained, they get pinched by municipalities or other entities and so forth. And because of that, it is also a contributory factor to our labor costs, because we have to pay an additional payment for qualified process controllers in order to maintain them. We're still working diligently on the new asset performance management. We have the system in place, although we're still working on it to get it to perfection. And that, Chairperson, is all I have to say for this, and my colleagues and I would gladly answer any questions that the committee wish to pose to us.
Thank you, ma'am. Any questions, members? It looks like it's a well-run water board. Ma'am, Ms. Wenger?
Thank you, Chair. I have a number of questions. The first one relates to the under expenditure on the CAPEX. As you said earlier on, you need major funding for your CAPEX, yet you are not spending even the little bit that you have. And also the switching from operational to CAPEX. Are you permitted to do that in mid-year? Because it's surely CAPEX is part of your tariff structure. The other thing is business sense-wise, it really doesn't make sense to me that you would be wanting to spend your reserves as CAPEX instead of building it into your tariff. Surely if you want to expand, that needs to be part of your growing process and coming up with a structure where you will be able to accumulate the funds in order to spend on your infrastructure. The other one is the progress, achievements, and objectives, and the four that you have not achieved. Now, in my view, those would have been the first four that I would have addressed, particularly the water losses and the compliance. Surely, if you get your water losses sorted out and your compliance, the rest will follow. Those are the two major issues that I think need addressing urgently. The other one that I think is not only to yourself, but I think is basically to all the water boards regarding the financial year that don't coincide, because once your tariffs have been proclaimed, you can't adjust irrespective of what the increases might be from ESCOM and so on. And I think that's something that we need to have a look at, I think, right across the board. And I would also like to know the percentage of your budget that you spend on repairs and maintenance of your existing infrastructure. Thank you.
In the financial statement. Okay.
Mrs. Cortana.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm still trying to get a sense of what the presenter was saying in relation to savings. When you talk about savings, Chair, I'm not convinced that you can talk about 50% of savings of the budget that we have. Hence, when you check to the current challenges vis-a-vis to the savings, really is unacceptable. We need development. The infrastructure is inadequate. There is a water losses, but there are savings. Can you get a clear sense of what's happening here, Chair? Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Just hang on, please. Just, you know the drill. Mr. Matebe.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, since this is a very small water board and they are able to run it efficiently, even if they spend very little. It was said here that you were also involved in distributing water tankers to harvest rainwater in various communities. Are you doing this yourself, or are you making use of private people? If making use of private people, how do you make sure that you cater for the previously disadvantaged companies?
Any more questions? Is that it? Okay, now you can on.
Sorry about that, Chair. I guess I'm a bit over-anxious. I'll ask my CEO to respond to the first questions from the lady.
Thank you. Maybe we just put, in terms of our CapEx, the initial plan was just for refurbishment and no expansion. I think the big thing around the underspending for the previous year was the decision that was taken to first roll out an asset management plan in order to empower us to have better information and make a more informed decision as to how we're going to spend that money and how we're going to prioritize it. And as it's shown in the slide, that program is running at the moment. We're currently busy with phase two, which focuses on the extensive pipeline network that we have. And once that is completed, we will be able to get accurate information as to the condition of the network, which will then enable us to come up with a better plan and be able to prioritize our expenditure accordingly. I think that's the key thing. To the four KPIs that wasn't met, I'd like to just point out that that was a year-to-date figure up to the end of December 2011, so it is still in our current year, and we will most probably catch up on some of them towards the end of the year. I'd like to just mention around the losses. The losses isn't our real losses are more towards the 3%. The losses that we've shown here is also as a result of maintenance that we do. We do flushing of the pipeline, so and it's also in the production cycle that we have losses. So that's why that figure is here. But towards year end, I think that figure will come down. As far as the bulk contracts are concerned, we currently have one signed one, and we are about to sign a second one with Essequa Municipality. And then obviously we're working on the rest. I'd like to just make a correction at point 10 in terms of the DE expenditure. The figure that is quoted there is an actual figure, meaning that we spend 52% of our discretionary on BEE. And it is not a it's not a percentage increase. So I think we comply with that one. And I think the budgetary figures, as I said, it is a half year status that we're showing there. It will be more applicable to look at the year end figure come end of June. The question around the differences in financial years, we're currently looking at changing our financial year and aligning it with government, which is end of March.
Chair, I think our senior operations officer will be best placed to answer the question on the percentage that is spent on refurbishment and repairs. Sydney?
Good morning. The percentage spent on maintenance is 6% of our budget is spent. I would like to make a correction in terms of the water losses. Our water losses is well within what we budgeted. We budget 10% and our losses is 8.94%. So we achieve that goal. And then I also want to answer the question on the rain harvesting project. The rain harvesting we do in conjunction with the Department of Water Affairs. We are the implementing agent, and what we do, we do the things in Oudtshoorn. There's a special project of the president there in Oudtshoorn, Dijkhoofdorp, and also in Bitterfontein. And we make use of the community, the people of the community. We didn't use a big contractor there. The program we roll out, we go to the municipalities, and specific in Oudtshoorn, they have a committee there, and they use the community, the people themselves, to go and install their tanks. And at the end of the day, you get much more work done in terms of that approach we do. Currently, we are busy putting in tanks, extra tanks in Citrus Dal, and we will go to Eland Bay. And then we have a flexor project with the department in Heidelberg, Hessequah, where there is 32 houses they built. And I think this is the first project where houses were built and immediately we put in the rain harvesting tank. And this is part of Oudtshoorn's strategy in terms of water conservation and demand management also, and drive people and help them to make them aware of the scarce of water.
Sorry, Chair, may I just add to that? I would like you at some time or other perhaps have a word with your colleagues as far as RDP housing is concerned. One of the problems we encountered with the rainwater harvesting is that we found many RDP houses were built without guttering.
Without what?
Without guttering.
Oh, guttering. You know, I'm not sure about your approach to losses. I mean, you say, we had a target of 10%. We made 8%, so we've done it. I mean, the question is not that. The question is what should the percentage be? I mean, yesterday, Rand Water, which has a huge operation, have losses of 4%, and they think it's too high. You're happy with 10%. It's clear to me that, I mean, I'm not an engineer by any standard or anything, but it just seems to me that a target of 10% is far too high. Far too high. I mean, we can't, particularly in a small little water board like yourselves, where every drop and every cent means something, say we're happy to live with 10%. I mean, I would have thought that a much lower figure of 4 or 3% is where we're aiming for. And then to say, but I mean, you know, it's easy. And that's why I don't take these strategic objectives very seriously myself. Because, you know, you put a target of 10% and you say, okay, we made 8%, it's fine. So I think you guys must look at this. This is a serious issue for you. I think one of the members actually said that, that as far as losses are concerned, we must clearly be much more tight on it and aim for much lower. I mean, they can know, any water board that tells me they're happy with 10% losses is telling me that it's a water board that has problems with how they're running themselves, because it can never be acceptable that 10% of the water you have just runs into the earth. This just can't be right. I don't need a response on that, just to say that clearly you've set your target far, far too low. And it's no encouragement to say, well, we've now met it because it's 8%, okay? I realize your answer to me will be, so it's difficult to answer, you say, well, if you give us money, then we'll make sure it's less. But that's not how we should approach it, okay? Well, can I just say, this water board is one that's run well. They clearly can do much more if they had more money on the infrastructure side. I don't know how the department decides these issues and how they give more money, but it's something we should be engaging the department on, where there are well-run water boards that have more capacity. What do we do to actually give them that capacity? I like the approach of that the Treasury is now following. They give the money to the department and say, now go there to that municipality and make sure. So whether the department uses the water board or themselves, then make sure that things happen in a certain area. So we'll see how that goes. As far as your introduction is concerned, I understand from that you're leaving us. I only met you last year, when you came here last year, and I've been impressed with the quality and standard of work and the way you conduct your affairs. So we want to thank you that in a large measure, I do imagine that because the water board is on a sound footing is very much your doing. For that, we thank you and we congratulate you. And of course, whatever your further endeavors are, may they be fruitful and happy. And if you go into retirement and you don't play golf, I suggest start playing golf soon. If you do play golf regularly. But thank you for all your hard efforts. I am sure I speak on behalf of the whole committee, and that I hope your retirement will be a fruitful one. Thank you. All right, that's Overberg, and once again, thank you for coming again today and accommodating us. All right, the next one is Machalis. There were problems with Machalis, something wrong with them. I can't remember from yesterday, it's too long ago, but I'm sure we're going to hear now what their problems were. There is tea in that. Can I ask that if you want, we're not going to break today. We're going to just move. So, you know, quietly one or two at a time to get tea and things, okay? So that we can keep moving. Is this the problem child, Machalis? Hey, and I'm amazed at the problem, because usually when it's women running the show, it always works well. Now, I'm not understanding why Machalis is a problem. But okay, I'm going to hear now. Can we settle down? I tell you what, let's wait 1 minute. Let people just, they obviously want tea and things. Let them get it so people can listen to you. Else we not stay on you. You come all this way, we don't listen to you. Drinking tea and things. We don't listen to your problems. You come all the way, we don't listen to your problems. What was it? You got a qualified report. Oh my God! Okay, I knew Machalis there was a problem. You and Bushbuck Reach, that place. Hey. Sorry, when they were burning down things in Bushbuckreef, they didn't burn down the water board. We would have had less problems now. We could have started something new. You don't think I should give those youngsters there any ideas? Have we got tea and coffee? Everyone settle down? There's still a few, okay. Okay, like, Machali, you on, welcome. I hope you enjoyed your night here in the big city. I know you come there from the mountains up north, so must have been a special occasion here in Cape Town. See, that's why I put you on the second day. So I knew you can come the first day and stay over and see the light. Okay, who's speaking for us in Mohalis?
Thank you, Honorable Chair and members of the committee. Let me first tender apologies from the chairperson of the board. He did send us to represent him. I'm with two members of the board to be.
That's fine.
Chair, Mohalis is not a problem child. Mohalis is a child with a problem. Okay. I'm Priscilla Nkwinika, the board member. The issues that we're...
Not a problem child, it's a child with a problem.
With a problem.
Well, I'm going to sit here and work that out, and when I've worked it out, I'm going to know how to approach Mohalis.
So, during yesterday's presentation, it was raised that there was some non-compliance with the shareholders complex when we submitted it to Dwa. That is correct, Chair. It was in relation to the framework that we used, a wrong framework when this was brought to our attention, we corrected it and gave DOA the correct framework. And then we got a qualified audit opinion.
What did you have last year?
Also a qualified.
Also qualified, okay.
Yes. But we were having a turnaround strategy. The year under review is the year where we're cleaning the house. So a lot of wrong things came out that led to a qualification. But there's a slide that we'll share with the board, with the committee, and also the progress in addressing the challenges. And I can also report that in terms of the bonuses, there's no one who has been paid a bonus. The CEO has not been paid a bonus. And the general manager has not been paid, but they are regularly. Their performance is done regularly. So I'll hand over to the chief executive to do the presentation.
No reflects on you, sir. I love you dearly as well. I wanted to be a woman, that's all.
Thank you, Chair. That's part of the board plan.
That's part of the turnaround study. Okay.
We have tried to follow the framework as it was provided to us by the department. And this is just the overview of our presentation. I must also add, Chair, that there has been minor amendments that were reflected on the presentation. And therefore, what the honorable members have got as hard copies might be slightly different to what I'll be presenting. But I will point out to those changes that have been effected onto the document. Chair, maybe as a first point to mention, in terms of our area of supply, I think it would be important to indicate that after the local government elections that have happened last year in May, in our area of supply, we had a situation where one of the municipalities that we were supplying at the time was actually incorporated into the city of Tshwane. And that municipality is the Nokeng Tataimane and is now incorporated into the city of Tshwane. And that is the area that I'm pointing at the moment. It's Nokeng Tataimane, and next door to it is a green color. That is where the city of Tshwane is situated. And what we have now is that those two have now been merged and under the jurisdiction of the city of Tshwane. Chair, if I could just quickly indicate in terms of our issues to follow up in terms of last year's consultation. There was an issue regarding the debtors collection, which the portfolio committee felt that we need to make a bit more effort in terms of collecting our data. We have done exactly that, Chair, but if one looks at where we stand at the moment, we're standing at debtors or outstanding debtors of 89 million. And if one looks also at just the breakdown of those, we established that there is one of those which is under dispute to the amount of 12 million rand, and we also have another one which we being owed by the Madibeng municipality, and this is our secondary activities that we're conducting on behalf of Madibeng. And the progress thereof on those two, Chair, is that with regard to the 12 million owed by the Rustenburg Trust, we're following up on that. We've been promised that the amount will be settled, and currently we just are waiting a feedback in writing to that effect. But what we've been told is that the board or the trustees of this institution, they have taken a resolution to actually pay that outstanding amount to us. With regards to the Madibeng amount, which is owed to us again, we have approached the Department of Water Affairs with regards to recovery of this debt. And our approach was that the municipality is receiving grant funding towards the implementation of this work. And we as Magalis Water were doing it on their behalf. And therefore, we're asking, in writing, we motivated, recommended to the department that they need to direct the payment to this account to Magalis Water until this debt is actually resolved. And it's only then that they can pay the amounts to the municipality when the 6 million rand has been paid. We still are awaiting feedback in terms of finalization of that recommendation from the department.
As these municipalities, like the other ones we spoke of, they signed agreements that they owe the money and how they'll pay it back.
The difference here, Chair, is that this is a Section 30 function, the secondary activities. It's not our primary one. And it's on an operation and maintenance contract basis. We do have a contract with them.
Okay, I'm talking about Treasury said you've got 14 million that arrears.
The 14.
Do you have
14 million in arrears? Yes. Chair, can I maybe refer to the slide that I have, which deals with the breakdown of the data that we have. It will explain the concern that the Chair has raised. Then in terms of the current data, our current account is averaging at about 40 to 45 million. At this stage, when we compiled this report, it was at 42 million. And we're getting payment of the current account. However, we're experiencing some erratic payment from the Tabazimbi local municipality. And that's the only area that we're suddenly getting challenges thereof. We have started working with them and engaging them with regards to honoring their promise to pay, but we haven't gone to a stage of putting down in writing an agreement of them having to pay to us the amounts that are owed. I must also point out, Chair, that the erratic behavior of the Tabazimbi municipality is a recent thing. It's not something that has been happening for a long time. And therefore, we've started the process. We're still in early stages of giving them an opportunity to actually respond accordingly. And if one chair takes
out... 70 million outstanding. Is that right?
Yes. In total, 79. However...
You're saying, well, it's early days.
No.
Is that the approach of
Yes.
Even though
it's 79 million. No, Chair, it's not 79 per se. The slide is actually 79 is the total. Mm-hmm. And in that total, there is a current that is 30 days. Our 30 days is 42 million, which is what one would take out of the 79. And also in that component.
This is eight, current.
Yes.
That one and the 30 days, so it's 50 together.
Yes.
Okay, no, I hear what you're
saying. All right. Go ahead. And, well, really what we say is classify as delinquent debtors is about 11 million, and that includes then the Tavazimbi situation, which we're starting dealing with. Chair, in terms of the annual report 2010-2011, I'll just quickly just show the financial position, the summary thereof, and the slide that we're showing is showing our fixed assets, investments, bank trade receivables, and the trade payables. Maybe just to quickly look at the trend, Chair. It's clear from our fixed asset trend or profile that there's been very little asset creation or movement with regards to fixed assets. And on the investment side, again, it's clear that we do have investments which we're calling reserves. And we're currently sitting at about 370 odd million. That is our reserves. And then in terms of bank.
Which one day you say your reserves?
It's the second
one,
column
reserve?
Block, yes.
Okay.
And then next to it, it's just the cash that we calculated at the time of concluding the. But however, one can see that in the year 2009, we had very little cash in the bank, which subsequent to that, in 2010-11, that improved to about 49 million. And we're projecting that in the year current, we'll be sitting at about 42 million, and that's the focus. The trade receivables, as indicated earlier on, and what we had last year was about 80 million or 85 million. And we, in terms of the trend, it's more or less the same. There has been not much movement there. And then
so
on the
figures, you say, are there 79 million?
79 million, yes.
So there should be three
north
to all these figures.
There should be three
north,
yes.
You must explain that somewhere. You look at the left side, it says 700, 600, looks like 1,000. So it's difficult to work out that suddenly it's 80 million we're talking about.
Okay.
Put a little
later.
Okay. All right. Okay, so now I understand it better. It looks very small. Okay.
On the next slide, Chair, it deals with the the financial performance. I think of note here, Chair, is the last two blocks, which deals with the earnings before interest and depreciation, and also the net surplus. And those blocks are indicating clearly that definitely in 2009-10, financial year, there was a problem there. We were trading at a loss, and this is what the board member, Ms. Nkwinika, was referring to. These are the time when we picked up that the organization was experiencing problems, and it is at this time that the board decided to actually embark on a turnaround strategy, which was aimed at turning the fortunes of the organization. And Chair, if one then looks at the following year, following the 2009-10, there is definitely an improvement with regards to the surplus. We're looking at 2010-11, we closed the year with a surplus of 27.9 million. And we had earnings before interest and depreciation of 6.6 million, reversing the negative trading of the previous year. The key ratios, Chair, I think they reflect the same situation that I've already...
The financial position of yours, you say, is 29, 30, 10, 20, 11. The forecast of the profit. I'm trying to eat your slide there that shows you made no profit. How do you get a surplus of 27 million? I think... Treasury has also got it as a plus 27 million, but your, this summer year shows it's below the line. So
no.
We're talking about the same year.
No, the chair, maybe it's a question of color coding. If you got a photocopy.
We've got no color. So
yes. Maybe if I can point out that.
In Parliament, we have no money.
Yeah. the red block is a negative, it's facing down. That's 29-10, 209-2010, which is that one, this red one. And then the 2010-11 is this one, the green one in the middle.
You do it this way and not that way.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the problem.
And the same applies.
You must explain those things. You see these slides. Now, I suppose if we had color, we would see. Okay. Maybe because they have no color.
Okay. This one, Chair, it just confirms it's just the ratios which are based on the earlier financial performance. Chair, we also, through Ms. Nkunika, we've indicated that we had a qualified report, and our qualification was based on these significant areas which we've listed on this page. And I also would like to indicate, Chair, that we're making an effort and to turn around the situation of the qualification. And we have compiled an action plan, which we're dealing with, which the board is also monitoring.
Which page is that? Let's go to that page before we look at other things. Tell me what this
turnaround is. It's a slide after the key ratios, after the graph.
Is that the turnaround strategy?
No.
Where's the turnaround strategy? Because you've now explained these are the problems, so now I want to hear what your turnaround strategy.
Well, Chair, as indicated in the 2009-10, that's where the problems were actually surfaced, and the board implemented a turnaround strategy, which was embedded in our long-term strategy. And the way it was approached was that in the first year of our operation, following 2009-10, that is now year 10-11, we focused on dealing with all the inefficiencies that were identified within the organization, which we called cleaning the house. And that, I think, Chair, if you look at the results of 10-11, it did work to turn around the negative trading into positive for the year end 2010-11. So on that basis, we believe
I'm confused now. You see, talk or let's talk. Why are they reporting on 9.09 out of 10? I mean, you gave them the pro forma. Shouldn't they be reporting on 10.11?
Yes, they are just showing you the trend, where they come from up to now.
Yeah, but you see, when they do the financial statement, they say it's the financial statement of 09.010, not 010.011. They haven't dealt with the financial statement of.
No.
What am I missing? Am I missing something here?
Chair, the trends, each block is showing the trend over three years, starting from 2009. And the reason we're showing 2009 is to bring to the attention of the committee where the organization is coming from, and also in terms of what the board has also mentioned, to say Mahalis Water is a child
see,
is a
I
problem.
I understand that, but now the problem I have is if I look at this page, you guys tomorrow have to do a speech in Parliament, or next year you come here, you say to me, this is the page with a turnaround strategy. I don't see any strategy on it. I mean, what do I see? What is he physically doing to turn around things? It tells me, you know, you're doing it in these columns, but it's not telling me what it is specifically doing.
Chair, through you again, the turnaround strategy itself, we do have a detail of that. It has been also been monitored by the minister. We've reported to the minister's office on that on the regular
now
basis.
You see, you guys, you report to the minister. So I look like a minister. I'm not the minister. Does this committee look like a minister? Not the minister. The problem is you're now the second. Soko,
yes.
If a water board is busy doing a turnaround strategy, then you guys must come and report it here. The other chefs also didn't report it to us. Now they've attended to us, but then we can't ask them questions because they're not here. I mean, if they're turnaround strategies, you know, let us know about it as well. No use telling the minister. The minister doesn't talk to me and say, I have a turnaround strategy in my honey. Of course you won't come. So, I mean, we must get this as part of the pro forma. If there are special steps being taken to fix something up, then that's the most important thing that they must come and talk to us about. Because all this other stuff is needless. The turnaround strategy is the most important thing that we need to see. What is it that this water board is doing? So if you say, okay, it looks like they know what they're doing. But the problem is now they're going to send me, I'm going to ask, please send me a copy of this turnaround strategy. But then I only see it next year. Maybe people calling them again. Okay, tell me, with it, not yet, tell me what is the main, this is short, what are the main steps in the turnaround strategy?
The main step, Chair, that was taken was firstly to improve the controls, financial controls. We have also went to an extent of increasing our monitoring controls, that is of our primary business, the operations per se. We also went on to investigate efficiencies, operational efficiencies, which relate to issues of chemical usages, the electricity usage, managing costs within the organization. We also went on, Chair, to look at the whole organization profile in terms of the structure of the organization and the alignment of our human resource to the strategy of the organization, particularly starting with the turnaround strategy itself. The structure of the organization which has been proposed has now been approved by the board, and we believe that it's definitely also forward-looking to align ourselves with the five-year plan that we have. Also, Chair, I must add that in terms of the structure of the organization, we we definitely do not incur any additional cost with regard to that. In effect, we are aligning our current resources, and we found that there is also some savings that we could
have this out of. And all that you say has now shown on the other slides you saw have now shown an improvement.
Yes.
And without, I know you can't commit yourself, but what is the auditor saying? Are you, this coming year now, is there going to be still a qualified? Have you done enough in your turnaround strategy, or are there still things that are wrong?
Chair, we think we've done enough. Like we're saying that we've cleaned the house, and this financial year it was back to basics. We've corrected what was raised on the issues that need us to qualify. It's only one issue that we can only complete at the end of the financial year. But what we're doing now, we're keeping track, identifying things that needs to be done, and then at the end of the financial year, that's when we'll complete. So we were fairly confident.
You're saying it looked good.
Yes.
You're fairly confident.
Yes.
Take the auditor demo to lunch, and then you'll be very confident. Okay, now let's, that's enough so people can ask you some questions on that if they want to. Let's go back to,
you were pointing to someone at the back there. Is it your internal auditor?
No,
the AG.
Yeah, I let him talk. Okay. I let him talk after.
But do you have your internal auditor?
No.
You don't? No. Because I saw here that one of the reasons why you got a qualified report is because some documents were not supplied in time. So I thought maybe if you had your own internal audit, you will obviously be having those documents before submitting to the AG. So you were compiling everything at the end of the year.
Hold your answer. Hold your answer. Don't disrupt the flow. I can't even know what he's doing wrong. Hold your answer. I'll let you answer at the end, okay? Any question or any query? Okay. Go back now to CAPEX. Leave all those strategic objectives. We've just shown that strategic objectives don't mean anything. Take a strategic objective that you know you'll meet, and then you say, hey, we've met it. CAPEX, okay, stop pushing on CAPEX, because yeah, I see you were very bad. Yeah, you must tear down Kuluma and Praha, because yeah, I'm not very happy. Talk about the CAPEX.
In terms of the...
Let me remind members that if you look at the Treasurer's report, they budgeted 46 million for CAPEX. They only spent 15 million. 46 and 15. Now, Teta, Kuluma,
Chair, just to deal with the CAPEX issue, maybe just to mention that currently we have the reserves of about 374 million. This is money that is within Mahalis Water. And also I'd like to mention that currently we have not implemented any major CAPEX, and our tariff does not have a component of capital tariff on it. Our tariff is basically operational tariff that is charged to recover operational expenses. In terms of what we are planning for, Chair, is that we're looking at creating new infrastructure and the investment required thereof, we're estimating at 1.2 billion. And this is a project that will assist or facilitate access to water to municipalities in the areas of municipality Moses Kotane, the Rustenburg, Tavazimbi, also the Royal Bafokeng administration, as well as Bahata Khafela. This project, Chair, is also estimated or projected to provide up to 700 temporary jobs during construction. However, downstream of the project at completion, we have been given estimates guaranteed by the mine that at least 6,000 permanent jobs will be created through this infrastructure. Chair, in terms of our CAPEX program, we have about two classes. One is the infrastructure upgrade and refurbishment, which is basically the existing infrastructure that is in Magaliesberg Water at the moment, and that we are earmarking our reserves to actually fund that particular space of our infrastructure. And then we also have the new infrastructure which I've referred to, which is in this case the Pilanesberg North and South scheme, which is happening in the area west of our operation. Chair, I would also like to quickly give a profile of the stakeholders that are actually involved in these projects. If one starts with the major capital. Chair, the reason why I would like to go through the stakeholders is basically to answer that very same question of the delays.
You want to spend 1.6 billion, but you have only spent 40 million last year when you promised that you're going to spend 46 million. That is the issue you must address.
Chair, in terms of our internal reserves for refurbishment, all our CAPEX that we had planned is actually in the area of Nogensa Diamond. And as such, Nogensa Diamond had concluded, we have concluded or consulted with them to conclude the CAPEX program. And when they were incorporated then into the city of Tshwane, we had to consult further with the city of Tshwane to agree on the plan, whether the plans that we have are acceptable and fit within their planning for water provision in the area. Because the Nogensa Diamond was therefore out of the equation in terms of that. Also, Chair, I think that was very crucial.
When were they added to Tshwane?
No, in May last.
Where were they previously?
They're in Mutsweding. Mutsweding.
So are you saying to me you did not spend 32 million of your budget this year because of that decision?
That decision dictated that we need to consult with the city of Tshwane. All the CAPEX that was planned in the area is all of that is now under the city of Tshwane, which was under the.
I don't know if I'm not complaining again. 32 million, according to Treasury, was not spent. I'm asking, is that 32 million as a direct result of this decision, or is it that you didn't spend it somewhere else that you should have spent it? It's a very simple question.
It's as a result of this decision, Jay.
The 32 wasn't spent on that. Yes. Where was the 14 million spent?
It was spent on minor capital refurbishment, but not necessarily infrastructure related.
That's all year that you're accounting for. Spent 40 million on minor things and not a single project other than that you actually dealt with.
Yes.
Whatever reason, maybe it's because of this decision, but that's the effect of it.
Yeah.
If we look at your water. Okay, well, I hope that clears it up. Now, tell me about the 1.6 billion. I know you've got 374 in reserve. So what do you mean by 1.6? Are you planning to get 1.6 billion?
Yeah, Chair, the 1.6 billion is the money that we're planning to actually have or to go out and borrow. If I were to just take the members through the that particular project, it's a project that we are implementing in collaboration with the mines in the area, and I've listed the mines that are involved in my previous slide. And the 1.2 billion that we're talking about is such that the mines are contributing their capital contribution towards the implementation of the project to about a percentage of 55% of the 1.2 billion. And then the balance thereof, which is 45%, the amount that Mahalis Water would need to come up with. And of course, that amount, if we come up with that
$600 million,
yes.
And you already have 374 in reserve.
Yes. What then we're saying, Chair, if Mahalis Water then comes up with that money, it has to be paid somehow, i.e., through the tariff. And the means.
What period is this going to be spent over? How many years?
Up to 2015.
Over a 3-4 year period.
Yes.
And how much is your turnover every year, or how much profit do you make every year?
Our turnover is about 250 million.
And how much of that do you actually add to your reserves or spend?
Our net for the year as of December 2011 is about 30 million.
30
million, yes.
So the 374, and then you can add, say, another 100 million, 474. Okay? That's enough for people to ask questions. Now, these M's are big here. What is that? Is that something else? Other projects other than what you mentioned, the 2.1.2?
Yeah. It's the same one. What that slide is explaining, Chair, is bringing into the attention of the members that the processes that have to go through to implement the project is firstly to agree with the municipalities that they buy into the project, they commit to it. And if one looks at the letters of intention or commitment, which are pasted on the slide, we have a commitment from Rustenburg as of the 29th of February this year. And on its own, Chair, it says that until that commitment was obtained from Rustenburg, we still would have a problem in continuing with the project, i.e. wouldn't continue without that commitment. We're sitting now with a situation where all the municipalities have committed. We also have a situation where Moses Kotane had even submitted through working with us an application for RBIC funding, which then in terms of that colorful slide indicates the allocation on RBIC funding that's been made to Moses Kotane.
Does RBIC allocate this to you as a water board or as a partner or to the municipality?
The department allocates it to the water board to implement the scheme.
So this money here, which is 289 million, so 290 million rand, the department has allocated to you.
It's an approval. We've got an approval. It still has to be. It hasn't been issued as yet. But this is just confirming that it has been approved.
And Soko, what do you guys put into position to make sure they are able to implement this? The whole last year, they didn't implement a single thing.
are you, does the department going to do in the official account to make sure that they do these things? What have you put in place?
Chair, there will be quarterly reporting, and we've also dedicated project manager from the department who is overseeing the progress of the project.
But yeah, last year there was quarterly report, they didn't spend the money. Mm-hmm. So what did you do about it? They say there was a decision to move the municipality to another municipality. When did you know that, and what do you do in this place when you were here? You just sit there and do nothing.
Okay, what happened then, the funding is supposed to be reallocated to projects that are moving.
Alright, move to, let's just move on, then. Move to bulk water tariff increase.
And Chair, the bulk water tariff increase. The first line, we're just showing, Chair, the profile of volume growth in the organization, which essentially is showing a very flat trend. And this is suggesting that we're not getting enough volumes to actually obtain the economies of scale. The cost will continue to rise above the...
these volumes, you say you're getting 30 million a year in profit?
Yes.
For these volumes?
Yes.
So that's your growth capacity?
Yes.
Okay.
And the next slide, Chair, is just the capacity utilization of our plant. And, of course, the refurbishment and upgrades that we talked about earlier on is targeting the Klip Drift and the Valmanstal plants for upgrade in order to get that capacity we need to be able to sell more water. And the next slide, Chair, is just the split of the volume taken by the various customers. And also I'm giving the profile of the customers that are served or serviced from each water treatment plant. And of note is the Valmanstal, where we're saying that's an affluent domestic consumers, which consists of your Gulf estates and all the high-class developments. The tariff principles, Chair, they haven't changed. We still... The actual price that we're requesting. In this slide, Chair, we're showing what we computed and the adjustments after the confirmation of the ESCOM tariffs being 16%. Under the scheme of FALCOP, we requested a 9% initially, 9% increase in tariff. And if we were to adjust as a result of the ESCOM tariff, it would be 7%. The Klip Drift, also 8-6. Valmanstal is 20-18. And Cullinan, 9-8%. The challenges, Chair, one of the major ones that we foresee, which would affect the water sector as a whole, is a situation where you have a municipality being a water service authority as well as a water service provider. This is the situation where a municipality has got its own bulk infrastructure, as well as the capacity to deliver on water, and at the same time there's a water board in the same area of supply. What we're finding is that the planning at the level of a municipality is always specific to their area of supply. And but if you were to, the water board were to be responsible for that whole area, water boards plan at a macro level and cross boundaries to supply water.
14 million last year on CapEx. How much did you spend the year before?
It was very little, Chair.
In the year before that?
I'll have to check.
See, the question I'm asking is, I must tell you, as I sit here, I'm feeling very uncomfortable. Department of Water, because they don't know how to do things, they dump 219 million rand of our big money on you. You have a project of 1.2 billion rand. And yet in the last 2 years, you've basically almost produced nothing. Can you see my uncomfortableness of that?
Yeah.
I'm very uncomfortable. That the department, and I know they do this, they get these budgets from Treasury, so they say, well, who's going to implement it? They look around, and they give it to a water board. When they don't answer questions, that water board goes to pay for it. Because here's a water board which clearly in the last 3 years has not produced anything on CAPEX. Now, I'm not, and you're given reasons, for example, for this year, that the municipality shifted and therefore what you were going to do, you didn't. But the fact of the matter, in practical terms, I don't care who we blame, in practical terms, in the last 3 years, it's not happened. For me, you say current challenges, that's the only challenge you've got. Get trying to get more work from the only challenge you've got is how you can come and prove to us as a commitment that you've got the capacity to do your CAPEX project. I'm happy that you fixed up some of your financial management problems, that's good. But for me, as I sit here now, I honestly can't say to myself, I feel comfortable at this next year that anything is going to change. For me, it looks like you guys are trying to fly too high. 1.2 billion projects, where you can't even do the, let's say, 26 million. And for me, if I was in the department, I would take this water board and make sure that it takes baby steps until it's at a place where I know they've got the capacity to deliver certain things, and then tell them to do it. I must say, I'm very uncomfortable the way the department has handled this issue. I'm very uncomfortable in terms of whether we're actually going to produce anything out of this forward. Because, no, I don't doubt your integrity, I don't doubt your sincerity. It's just in practical terms, there hasn't been the capacity to do it. Now I'm sitting here and wondering what to do. But okay, look, let's leave it like that. I think there's more than enough questions that we want to ask. I think I've got a picture of the water board in my head now. I understand the water board as we're saying. You see, it's a funny situation. On the one hand, you've got 374 million rand of reserves. On the other, the whole year, we produced 14 million of small little projects for CAPEX. It's just, there's an incongruity there. I can't fully understand what the problem is. But, okay, questions. Mr. Madhavi, you had the first one. You want to just, again, repeat that one? So we've got it. Then
you've
got it?
Okay.
Coming up with the second one. Yeah, Chair, there are some serious irregularities that happened in this water board. And well, I appreciate the fact that they are trying to fix them. But obviously, someone has to carry the responsibility for serious transgression of them. You did mention that rates that were used were differing from the ones that were approved by the board. That is a very serious transgression. So, who carried that responsibility? What happened to that particular individual who issued instruction to use those rates which were not approved by the court? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Mr.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, as I was listening to the presentation of Mahalis, it becomes very clear that there is a lack of management on water affairs department between municipalities and the water boards. The problem that I have earmarked since the water boards are presenting here, there is a cry about municipalities not paying, problems between water boards and the municipalities. But I want to ask the department to clarify us how, in fact, what is the plan in assisting this municipality, in fact, this water board, in relation to these problems vis-a-vis the municipalities. And secondly, Chair, I should think the Mahalis is promising us to spend the money that they require from the department, the 1 billion that you're speaking about, maybe including that 32 million. To me, I'm not convinced, Chair, if you fail to implement 40 million or 46 million, requesting another billion to spend on projects, I'm not convinced whether that money will be spent or not. Now, I'm asking the department, as Tova has indicated, that they will have a monitoring mechanism quarterly. They will be giving a report about the implementation of projects. If they don't implement those projects as supposed, what are other mechanisms for the department? Because you can't give a person money and requiring a report quarterly and failing to provide you with a report of what he or she promised you. Then what to do? Either we throw a money or we do what, but I want to be clarified in that score, Chair. Thank you very much.
I would request that the boards, when they do their presentation, they must be very honest and loyal. I look at them as I'm sitting here, and I could detect that there's something fishy. Because, you know, as I'm sitting, Chairperson, as I'm sitting here, I'm looking at them as they report, you know. By the way, I'm a teacher by profession. I trained to read, you know, those children around me, how one of them is thinking, you see. Then I can see that,
You can see before he's going to be
noisy. Yeah. So, and Togo, you stop covering. I'm just saying, in order for them to get help from this committee, they must just be honest. Tell us exactly what are your challenges. You know? And then I think things can just run better. Yeah, I'm looking. You know, the eyes, I can see. Thank you.
Ma, I want you to watch my feet. Keep a busy eye on them. Mr. Winger?
Thank you, Chair. When it comes to the debtors, and you're talking about the erratic behavior, particularly of the Tabazimbi, I think the terminology that you've used, delinquent debtors, I like it. I think because they are delinquent. I'd like to know whether you have an agreement signed with them in order to sort out the issues and whether you have informed the minister about the non-compliance of the particular municipality. The other one is the supply reliability, which is one of your objectives. Your objective for that reliance is 95%. Should it not be 100%? Because I think it should be 100% target, and if you reach 95, then we can talk about it, what the situation is. The other one is I just need to understand, because I don't understand it, as far as Norking Satamane goes. You've had this agreement to sort out, and you had 32 million allocated for this project. as far as I understand in my lay term, you have your pipelines supplying North King Southern Mining, okay, to supply the water to a particular municipality. It is now incorporated into Tswane, and Tswane now wants to supply them. What happens to that existing pipeline where the water coming from? Are they going to put new pipelines into supply North King Southern Mining? What happens to the existing one? I don't understand it. Could you just explain to me who is now supplying and from what point and from which water board? Because if it's still supplied by you, then it shouldn't be a problem. If it's not you, what happens to the existing infrastructure?
Let's just get clarity on this. Am I correct to say that this 1.5 billion, right, that is to do with the mine? They are prepared to give 55% of the money. You're going to add your reserves, and then you're going to get more money to do that whole project. Then we've got RBIC, which is separate, which is the other pay. That your municipalities apply for, not the mines, but the municipalities. There was 290 million given to do those projects. So you've got both of them. And then you've got whatever else, this one that's fallen by the wayside, which you're now trying to get permission, which is another 32 million that's left. We still have to do that project then as well. Are those all your KTEC things that you're looking at? The whole bag of
it.
Or some of those the same thing?
Chair, that is correct. Except that the RBIC portion that we have applied for is also part of the 1.2 billion rand project.
So that will be contributed from your 45%, already 290 is the part you're going to get from RBIC, 374 you're going to get from the rest. You'll have to find 290, that's 3, that's 6. Well, that's already worth the 600 million.
We've got
more than enough money than
the project. The RBIC is calculated into the 45%.
Yeah.
The reserves are earmarked for a refurbishment of an infrastructure upgrade of the existing infrastructure.
Outside of the one?
Outside the one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. So you've got half the money through the RBIC you've applied for, the 600 million. You're going to have to go. I just want to clarify, so I hope we all understand that. Okay, let's answer the questions now. All the questions have been raised.
Thank you, Chairperson. On the question that has been asked by Honorable Member Matej, the one of a person who used different rates, who has dealt with that matter, the person has been dismissed. We took it very seriously. So on the other issues, I'll give to the CFO and the CE to deal with.
There was a question of whether we have an internal audit. Yes, we do have an internal audit. However, the internal audit is not involved.
No, no, no.
The person was dismissed. The person was dismissed was the CFO.
No, I'm not dismissed with that one. Any other one? I said that we were bringing you someone at the... Oh. Well, you were referring to your internal auditor or the agent. You said no, the agent. You don't have internal auditor.
No, no, I mean here in this meeting. The
thing about old men, when they can't hear anymore, you know? No, she said it was they weren't here. But she thought you were asking us, are you here? But they have a board, like a audit committee.
The next question is what about the whether we report the issues with Kabazimbi to the department. We do report on a monthly basis, and we also send the same report to the Treasury on the challenges that we are facing with collecting from all the municipalities, not specifically Kabazimbi.
He said she reported to the department regularly about the standards and the problems. In her report, she says she has reported.
Thank you, Chair. On the question of the supply reliability of 95%, that is the target that is taken directly from the department's KPI, and we are using that. Essentially, it says we shouldn't have an interruption that lasts for more than 24 hours in a year. The next question, Chair, relating to the Nokengza Daimane and the infrastructure there. The infrastructure is there. What has changed is the authority for water service provision in the area. It has been moved from Nokengza Daimane, and now it's the city of Tshwane that is responsible and accountable for water provision in the area. And as such, the plans that we have concluded with the Nokengza Daimane, it then required that we confirm that the city of Tshwane is still okay with the plans that we have concluded. For the reason that the city of Tshwane is not like Nokengza Daimane. COT have got their own capacity, both in terms of people and bulk treatment as well as bulk lines. And they could, in their own plans, decide to provide water themselves to certain areas that we ourselves are planning or have concluded to supply with Nokengza Daimane. It is therefore in that context to avoid a situation where we continue to implement infrastructure while Tshwane have got their own plans, only to find that we may be creating infrastructure that becomes redundant following commissioning, because City of Tshwane may have their own plans for the same area. So that consultation and agreement and finding each other with the City of Tshwane was crucial on that point of view. And essentially in our discussion, we actually established that, because the Klipdrift plan to upgrade the Klipdrift plant was actually relying on a supply to a reservoir that was built by the Nokengza Daimane, which when we consulted with the city of Tshwane, they confirmed that they were not happy with the quality of work and workmanship of that reservoir, and therefore they were doubting the structural integrity. And as such, they say that reservoir is not in their plans to be used, and that definitely had to we had to change our plans as such, and as far as that is concerned.
Yes, Chair. Can I just confirm that what we're saying in actual fact is that the existing infrastructure then that is in place is going to be redundant? Do I understand it correctly?
Chair, it's not redundant. It's the ownership that is changing. What Nokeng used to own is now being owned by the city of Tshwane, and they have a jurisdiction and control over it. In
but
terms
the old infrastructure is going to go to Tshwane, and the new ones you're going to put in both of them, Tshwane.
No, we put our own infrastructure. What we put will belong to us. Here we're sitting in a situation where the city of Tshwane can, on their own, given their capacity of having their own bulk treatment for water, they can supply certain areas. So given that fact, you need to make sure that Tshwane, they can purify their own water, they can distribute their own water. Where then are they planning to take the water that they are purifying to? Are they also having the areas that we supply in their plan to be supplied from their side or not? And that's the confirmation that we needed. Because if we don't do that, we would have either duplicated resources and or created infrastructure that was not going to actually to be used or become redundant. At the moment, what is there is being used, and the plans, having confirmed what the plans are, it will continue to be used, and if there is need for new infrastructure to go into the ground, we know who's responsible for what.
yesterday, I thought it was to be like hitting your sister. This is like hitting your grandma. You really, everyone loves their grandmother. You like to hit your grandmother, but there's a limit to how much you can do it. And you leave me with a warm, fuzzy feeling, but you worry me. But I don't know how long you're going to be around as a grandma. I think there's a lot of good stuff done here. I like the approach of the members of the board. They open, want to do things, liking what management is saying to us in terms of your turnaround and so on. All those things make me feel that they're good things. My worry really is that if you then, from, you know, when you starting at in a car from north and you want to race up to 100, if you want to race only up to 50, the chance of you making mistakes are smaller. If you want to, over the same distance, move up to 100, the chance of you making mistakes are less. But I don't want to discourage you. And I don't want to say that we shouldn't be letting you do that. But the department has listened to me very carefully. You must take this water board hand and sit down with them and make sure that this project of 1.6 billion, with all the role players involved, there's the mines that are going to play 55, there's Arsbeek that's playing 300, and then we have to get another 300 somewhere from their side. That firstly, we deal with the legal aspects of it properly. I don't know, I've not heard a single word of whether we've sorted out the legal aspects of it. I mean, the mine 55%. I mean, how are they committed? What conditions are they attached to? Are we happy with the conditions? Does it fit into our plan? I don't know those things. Secondly, this is a water board that has very good intentions, but in the last 3 years they've not produced anything really in terms of CAPEX. Now we're putting them 1.6 billion projects. Again, from our side we want to encourage that because we want to get that interest. But I want to be sure, the department must be able to be sure that they've got the capacity to do this. And even if they haven't, to help them to get that capacity. Both in terms of the legal framework and in terms of the capacity to deliver. Are we understanding each other very clear on this? Because we don't want you to leave here with the impression that the committee is saying, oh, you know, these people are not good. We want to encourage it to get done. And if the department has decided that the 300 million for Arsbeek must go to the water board, then talk of. You cannot say to me the way that you're going to do is going to get a quarterly report. That is not the way to deal with it. Treasury is not going to give us the money if these things fail, because we're just leaving it to the water board. So, there has to be something more done on the department side to make sure that both the legal framework plus the capacity to do this work is in place. Because I can already, I'm so wishing that they can do it. But I know as I sit here what's going to happen when you come here next year. I know. You're going to tell me you didn't get the other 300 million, so therefore the project couldn't go ahead. You're going to tell me that the mines came and they started making demands and that which we couldn't agree with. Treasury is now listening to me. I can see all their ears are up. They're now going to go back and see the 300 million they're giving you. Have you got the capacity to actually deliver on it, having listened to you today? And then next year we're going to come here and say, no, that's not happening. I pray that that's not what's going to happen. But I can sit here and see. When you start from north and want to drive to 100, that's what's going to happen. So, Toko, I mean, I hope that you guys see what the responsibility of the department is here. We want to encourage this water board to get those capacities and to do that job of 1.6. But as I sit here, I feel very uncomfortable to think that they have actually got the capacity. And it's your responsibility to see they've got it. Otherwise, you must let this committee know that you've actually turned these projects to Hamagashle and it's dealt with differently. Okay, so please, the water board, you're going in the right direction. We want to encourage you to build your capacity. You cannot come here every year and tell us you've only spent 11 million on smaller projects. We want you to spend and get projects going. Okay? So that's what we're going to encourage you. On the other hand, we can't afford to make mistakes. When we've got Treasury on board to give us money, 300 million, we have to make sure we can spend. Okay? So I hope the message is very clear. The message I'm trying to give from this committee is a positive one towards Mahali. You are a granny. All right. So I wish you well, and Soko is a big responsibility here. Not a single water board has come and told us the huge project they had with this one, where there's no explanation of the fact. Okay? All right. Thank you very much, Mahali. And please get that qualified report sorted out. The only black mark against your book. Okay, who's next? Zulu. I father of the world, Zulu.
All right, can we settle down? Can we settle down? We've got Umhlatuzi. All that I remember of this, except that they come from where we Zulus come from. There's 11 o'clock tea, so you can quietly, one and one, go and get some tea. We're not going to stop. I also remember there was money that was spent on the World Cup, which I'm not too sure was answered yet. So immediately when I look at my homeboys, I just think of World Cup spending, and these are big spenders. We're talking about the big spenders. Who's going to introduce the delegation? And please give me everyone's name so that Mr. Matebe knows how to pinpoint you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and all committee members. I'm Mosam Tumela, the board member and the chairperson of HR committee. I would first want to extend the apology for our chairperson who could not make it with us. With me, I have all the committee member, Mr. Mshengu, and I have Mr. Potters, our CEO, Mr. Makanya, our Chief Operations Manager, Officer, and Mr. Kruger from Finance. Chairperson, as you have indicated, there were questions raised from last year's meeting. I will give to the CEO to make sure that we really dealt with those issues and will provide answers, and he will cover the whole report to the committee. Thank you. And over to Mr.
Bambi.
Bambi. Thank you, Chairperson, and Board Colleague and Committee members. I think in Flatuzzi Water, we have the presentation here. We've adjusted the presentation with a few slides. That's why we have got this one here, and we handed you out a new one.
Mm-hmm.
We've actually replaced it with an area map, so it looks better than only a write-up. And then we also included some of our capital expenditure. But if I go to the first slide, Chairperson, it is the area which we cover at Umhlanga, 37,000 square kilometers. It is mostly in the area of northern KwaZulu-Natal, and it consists in four water service authorities, which is Zululand, Mkunyakudi, and Utungulu district municipalities, and then also the city of Umhlanga is a water service authority themselves, and then the northern part of the Ilembe district municipality. So the main activities of Umhlanga Water is to go back to it. Is the bulk water supply and also the bulk refinery. The bulk water supply, which we do have. There was last year a question to all the water boards to give feedback to the portfolio committee on the salary scales, and we're using the Patterson grading system, and you're also interested in the bonuses that were paid and the salary increases. There you can see them for the year 2009 and 10 and 2010 and 11. It's exactly as the guideline was for us, and you can see the numbers there. Next one, please. The next one is our annual report. We had six key performance areas which we had to achieve, and I think the stakeholders ones there, I think it's the growth in the revenue base. Our consumption gone up to 6.6% and 7.2%, and our target was 5%. And our partnership with the Department of Water Affairs and the other provincial governments in water and sanitation, where we're given great grants in terms of implementing bulk water and sanitation at various schools. It was originally the Department of Water Affairs and recently the Department of Education. What's interesting, when we do these things, we ask for an advance before we carry on with the project, so that there's no outstanding money at the end of the project. Stakeholder engagement, we had very successful engagement with all our stakeholders in the previous financial year, and it was also commended by the Minister herself that we have got good stakeholder relations with our customers. The next one was compliance to statutory and other requirements. We did achieve the water quality standards of SANA 241. In the percentages as it is required there. We also then have certification in the various ISO fields, 9001, 14001. Our laboratory is accredited 17025, which means it's got an international accreditation for analysis, and then we also looked at health and safety issues, which is the 18001. We also improved the capacity and the quality. We have improved the capacity of the Ntesi water treatment plant, which is the main water treatment plant on Lake Ntesi, and that took us the decision to make provision for the year 2018, so the upgrade is sufficient that we can supply the capacity, and then also the unaccounted water losses we reduced to 4.9%. And I think I listened to the other presentations. Normally, the water losses can be between 5 and 15% of the inflow. When we do a water balance, we get to 4.9, and that is mostly the sludge that's contained in the water itself, and we're also recirculating the filter backwash. So when you get high turbidities, the volume of sludge is high because we're using water from the Mhlatuzi River and from Lake Ntesi. Then the other major key objectives which we had is contribute to the BBE, and we achieved 56.5% compared to 39% the previous year. We had our annual report externally audited after we had approval from the Auditor General, and our external auditors were Deloitte and Touche in partnership with Inkonki Corporation. And our annual financial statements were prepared in accordance with the GAAP principles and also the Water Services
Act. No, that's fine. Unqualified. Fine. Go ahead.
Thank you. I just invite that in vote, Chairperson.
Now, I see you, if I give you a chance, you'll talk for an hour on that unqualified report.
Yes, because it's very important. Our annual financial statements, that increased by 20%. Our operating expenses decreased by 7%, and it's mainly due to staff and energy savings. I think where we do have a major increase in our maintenance costs is we run 3 offshore pipelines 5 kilometers into the sea to dispose industrial wastewater, and that cost is often very high due to inclement weather and diving activities because those pipelines are 29 meters below sea level. Then our net finance costs also reduced to by 51%, and we can go to the next slide, Chairperson. I think the financial ratios, which is measured, which we do have to comply to, you can see they're all adequate, except the operating ratio, which should be a little bit more than net 0.75, and the others are all adequate, and you can see them there. I think we spoke about capital expenditure, and I think that the document which we had previously showed not all the detail which we have here, but the capital budget was 138 million rand. We spent actually 93 million rand, so we have spent actually 68%.
Treasury's got different figures. Who's right? Treasury's figures yesterday gave us said that Umhlatuzi's budget for CAPEX was 179, so it's about 180, and you spend about 95.
Yes, Jefferson, I can explain that one because, as you might recall, for many years we have been reporting on a paper and pulp company that wanted to establish in Richards Bay, which is called Pulp United, and we did budget approximately 45 million rand for that, and because the project is not going ahead, we didn't include that in the capital expenditure, and recently we did have to take it out in this financial year, 2012 and 13 as well, because they haven't made up the decision. I think the problem is international funding for that project. They make paper and pulp, which is similar to Mondi. So that's why the figures are there. And the reasons why there's some unexpenditures, because you can see the volumes of the amounts of money are big, and it span over two financial years, because it is pipelines, and it is also clarifiers, and it is fairly large pumps, and we also operate 24/7, and we don't have the flexibility to shut the system down when we do replace the intake pumps and pipelines, so we have to make a plan, and we...
Okay, your CAPEX, if you take away this money that wasn't spent on this, you say your CAPEX was 138.
Yes, Jeff.
Which you spent about 70%.
Yes, Jeff.
So now explain to me that 30% you didn't spend on proper CAPEX, what happened there?
What I'm saying to you, there's the reasons that the Mthethi Water Treatment Plant, we didn't spend all the money because we had an EIA situation where KZN Ezimvele Wildlife recorded a complaint about the pipeline route which we want to follow, because as being a person from KwaZulu-Natal, there's a certain grassland called Kombonambi grassland which we had to go around it, and that delayed the project. And that's why all the capital wasn't spent. And then it delayed some of the other pipelines that we had to import. There was a delay in the import of those pipelines. That's the reason then. Because all these things...
So all that will be done this year?
It's already been completed at this moment in time.
All right. Okay. That explains that.
We can go to the next one, which is fine.
Okay, explanation is it?
I think for our strategic objectives for 2011-12, it was mostly financial viability. It's the management of the organizational risk, ensure that the necessary controls are in place, and to minimize the organizational risk in the supply.
What would you say is the biggest problem of this water board?
I wouldn't say this water board has got a biggest problem, Chairperson.
Haven't got a problem.
No.
So it's functioning, it's making money, it's putting CAPEX in to its capacity.
We do have...
Every you get high salaries and everything's happy.
not the last one, Chairperson. But the other ones, we as a water board, we have got agreements with all our customers. It's all signed up till the year 2024. There's only one, which is Exaro Mining now, which is the Fairbreeze one, which is very much in the news at Mthunzini. That agreement expired in December this year, and we are busy with negotiations to extend that agreement, because, as you know, they want to mine that.
You only have arrears of 8 million, and that 30 days in arrears, so
yeah,
you're expecting. So you don't really have arrears either?
No, Jefferson.
Gee. maybe then, we'll get there just a second. Let's, if you haven't got any problems, then, it's difficult to find something. Go to the war, just briefly go to the tariff increase.
We can go to the tariff increase, Chairperson. What we've done there, we've got about 4 tariffs. One is raw water, which we supply to various mines, which is Richards Bay Minerals and Exxaro. So that is a specific tariff itself. And when we did the calculations this year, the tariff was 9.5%. And at that moment in time, the Eskom tariffs were calculated at 25%. Since then, it reduced to 16%. So it means that we can give a revised tariff to 9.14% there. And you can see on the last line, it means 1 rand 34 cents per cubic meter of water. If we look at purified water, drinking water, there we get our electricity from the city. And at this moment in time, the indications from the city is still 23%. Up till yesterday, they haven't officially notified me, but there is room for improvement on that electricity reduction cost. And you can see at 3 rand and 9 cents, or maybe 3 rand and 10 cents, we're probably one of the cheapest water boards in the supply of purified and potable water. Then we do have our 2 effluent pipelines, or wastewater pipelines, which is the buoyant line, the A line, and you can see there the increase is 1 rand and 2 cents per cubic meter, and the B line, which is a specific line for the disposal of calcium sulfate gypsum into the sea environment under controlled conditions, that is 3 rand and 35 cents. So you can see Chairperson, our tariffs were approved by the Minister, but then we had a special request to review the tariffs in terms of the energy consumption, and this is as it is at the moment, and I've reported that to the Department of Water Affairs.
Okay, and then come to the current key challenges, and when you get there, you also tell me about the World Cup, what happened then.
Yeah.
What we did about that with your army.
Yes, I'll certainly do it, Jefferson. The electricity supply, you know, we consume quite a lot of electricity from either Eskom or the municipality, so we have got a study under view at the moment to look at the efficiency of our electrical motors, that we can save some energy costs there. Then we do experience electricity cable theft, where the cables run through long lengths to say the water treatment plant is fairly remote. And we had some cable theft there in November, which had an outage to our water treatment plant for approximately 10 hours. And the loss to our one customer in that respect was over 6 million rand for that 10 hours. So our offshore pipelines maintenance is very problematic at the moment in time due to the very inclement weather conditions that we have on the South African coast. And then also the attracting and retaining of artisans and engineers. In terms of the artisans, we have embarked on a program by assisting them to become trained artisans, and we put them through a process at the training college. So far, we have been successful with 4 artisans that we trained. And then in terms of engineers, I think one of the other water boards, I think was Overberg, which also mentioned it is very difficult to retain engineers in that field. Then we do have deteriorating water quality in the lakes, and in terms of that, we are assisting the Department of Water Affairs as one of our objectives to look at the water quality monitoring of the water into the lake and say the inflow. And then we do have on our wastewater pipelines, it is sometimes very difficult to have compliance in terms of the contributors because there are 7 contributors into the wastewater pipelines. We do have a license issued to us by the Department of Water Affairs, which is now falling under environmental phase, that license, and we are busy with the review process of that license at the moment. So, Chairperson, then I can move on to the next very nice topic. I see Arsenal won last night 3-1, so it's very
That's a hell of an unusual, very unusual event. I would also mention it if it happens. It happens so infrequently.
Chairperson, I think at last I do need to apologize that I didn't have the opportunity to meet you now this morning before the time, but I have got the set of documents for you, what you wanted last time, and I've updated it. So what I'm saying to you, Chairperson, at this moment in time, I've laid the criminal charges against the incumbent at that moment in time. It was then submitted at the Richards Bay Police Station. We do have a case number, and then that was referred to the Durban branch of the SAPS, the Commercial and Crime Unit, and the person that's involved there is Captain Buthelezi. So at this moment in time, then they requested us to do another affidavit, which was done by the legal advisor of Umhlatuzi Water, detailing all the evidence which was completed and that we submitted in December last year again. And this moment in time, the case is with the South African Police Crime Investigation. So the criminal charges is there.
Actually, you'll come and report that they've lost the doc. Okay, but at this stage, we're still fine. We're still fine.
Chairperson, I think one needs to make sure as well in terms of criminal charges, it doesn't mean that we might be able to recover the 1.5 million rand, but as I'm saying to you, that is the update. I think.
Have you done something on the civil side to recover?
The civil side in terms of the agreement and in terms of the PFMA, the agreement, a settlement agreement that was concluded by the board and its lawyers and the CEO and his lawyers was to say that the money that should be owed to him should be put in a trust, which we did put in a trust. And then in February this year, the CEO conceded, and through the legal process said that he is conceding and is not taking any action further on Umhlatuzi Water, and then on the recommendation of the board, we then paid the money that was held in trust over to him.
How much was it?
Chairperson, the amount is around 500,000, 500 plus thousand.
You recovered a third. 1.5 and 500.
No. The agreement to pay out the former CEO was in the agreement. In fact, I was to respond based on your question from last year meeting, Honourable Chairperson, that did we sign anything that forfeit our right to recoup money? Unfortunately, yes. The agreement when we were disciplining the former CEO. There was a clause in the agreement when we were stopping the the processes to say we are not going to take any further legal action, and we agreed to pay him the settlement figure of about 500,000.
So I'm sure you got rid of the lawyers that let you put that clause in.
We are working on that.
Lawyers like that you surely can't have, because they're not working in your interest.
Definitely, because the advice that we got from them was that if we get into that settlement, we'd save much. But after that meeting, when we went back to relook at the matter, we saw that we have lost much. So that's why we opted to go the route of the criminal process.
And I think what sounds to me, you guys have really done well in the circumstances on that issue. That's very good. It's like you can be excited about Umhlatuzi. No, it's not KZN. KZN, this is only the part that's my own boys. It's the north. This is the north. We've got nothing to do with that south bunch. This is the north. They're exemplary. They spend their money. There was just one thing I wasn't sure of. Did you tell us what your reserves are? Do you have a reserve? The treasury, I think, said you had 69 of them.
Yes, so we do have reserve, Chairperson. I can just look it up, and I've got it.
All right, so that's the input. They're just checking the reserve questions. Ms. Wenger.
Thank you, Chair. With the last slide, regarding the challenges, with the compliance of the wastewater pipeline for the users. I'd like to know if there's an effluent monitoring system in place with a fine attached to it.
Right. Any other questions, Mr. Tsetsi?
John,
you want to ask the homeboys a question? Eh?
No, okay. Just one small one. Under annual financial statements, that you say we have decreased by 7% due to staff and energy cost savings. How did you say, save on staff? Because usually the incremental figures you say you have saved. How did you save on staff?
Any other questions? Okay, those are the two little quick questions you have. CEO? Kuluma. Now I can tell you Kuluma.
Thank you, Chairman. Regarding the pipelines, yes, we do have a license, and in the license it stipulates that we must monitor the quality that's going into the pipelines on a daily basis, and also the contributors. We report those qualities on a monthly basis in terms of percentage compliance to the Department of Water Affairs, and then we do have an independent research organization, the CSIR, that monitors the sea environment where the pipelines discharge on a biannual basis. It normally takes place in May and June, and then they produce a quite lengthy report. They do look at the fish quantities in the area, they look at the water quality, and they also look at the sediment quality in that area. The question about the decrease in staff cost, I think it was mostly due to senior positions that was abolished, and we didn't, and then there was some vacancy during that time. So yes, there were certain senior positions abolished. It's in our annual report. And then
what was the reserve?
I'll tell you now, Chair. The total reserves was at 2011, 301 million rand.
301?
Yes.
Oh, that's a lot of money. Oh, we got plans to spend some of that, Chairperson, this year.
Then
in my hinterland.
Yes, Chairperson, because we can't have so much reserve while people need water. We have a number of projects, but we are still engaged in local municipalities. Kanyawute district, Zululand district, that area to say we must beef up the supply of bulk.
Nothing is showing.
There are projects around the shore. They call the dam Popane Dam that has been we are part of maybe this around Tunganda.
Guys, let's do a project there and then name it after me. It's my birthplace.
Okay.
I'm only joking, for God's sake.
Okay,
don't mention the project. Can I just say, I know this water board is going on for a long time already, but I must say that everything one hears about it is good. I'm glad you guys have sorted out the big problem we had about the World Cup last year, those problems. Everything else you're doing seems to be going in the right direction. I would just like to see that I know it's prudent to have reserves and so on, but I would like to see some of that also spent, rather put it back. And the more infrastructure you create, the more money you're in any case is going to get back, because you're creating new plants. So access to your advantage to do that. So I really want you to see if you can move a bit faster on that. But everything else is looking in the right direction. Your income is up, your reserves are good, you're spending good on CAPEX, your ratios are good. So I want to congratulate, please convey to the board that we are very happy with the way you are going at the moment. And if you see anyone that vaguely remembers me from a show when I was 6 years old, tell him I say hi.
We'll do that.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay. Good news. Not like kissing your sister or your granny. All right. Who's after Mklatuzi? It is, Lepelele. Lepele. Lepele North. Julius's people, come. Let's see where you're going to vote. At the conference in Mango. You know that one. Garrett? Okay, where the people of the north? One Abba Fazi and then all the Amadota. Who's from the board? You're from the board, right. Who's going to start first? Welcome.
My name is James Mbai. I'm the chairperson of Libelle Northern Water.
Good. Fula. The Zulu's talking again.
They can talk. My name is James Mbai. I'm the chairperson of Libelle Northern Water. With me, I've got another board member, Ms. Mantata. He's also the chairperson of the Finance Committee. I've got the CEO as well with me. Mr. Lavalle, and the CFO, Mr. Killian. On our presentation, we'll basically start with the issues that were raised last year that we needed to address, and then we'll then move on to the slide that deals with issues with the template that we have been provided with. I'll hand over to the CEO to continue with that.
Thank you very much.
Chairperson, thank you very much for the opportunity again for us to come and appear before you. I know that there were some issues that the committee raised with us last year that we needed to go back and have a look at in terms of giving feedback to the committee. The one on the salaries and the information that was required, we had submitted to the portfolio committee through the Department of Water Affairs. For information purposes, particularly that there was a concern around the fact that our salaries component was about 33% of the revenue in the organization, and actually provided some feedback and indication of where we are and the influence of that particular percentage. And the other component was the low maintenance budget expenditure, and also the CAPEX plan development that we needed to work on. I want to just indicate that based on yesterday's presentation by both the Department of Water Affairs as well as National Treasury, we have significantly moved in terms of ensuring that our CAPEX plan is expanded as well as maintenance budget that we had gets to be improved compared to the previous year. And then I think the point that I also want to report on is on the financial status of the organization. We have consistently as an organization been receiving unqualified audit opinions. For the past year or the year under review, there were certain issues that were raised, and already, particularly on issues regarding fruitless expenditure, which was in relation to interest that was due to be paid or what was paid to SARS, as well as one of the local municipalities that is supplying us with electricity, where we had delayed payments. Already the board is taking action to ensure that the expenditure that was incurred fruitlessly for that payment of interest, the responsible personnel are taken to task to be able to recover the money concerned. The other important point that the auditor had raised in the past year relates to the big problem that we have in terms of collection of revenue from the various municipalities, and there is a specific slide that I will want to talk to later on, which even yesterday I think came as a big point for water boards like us who are owed a lot of money by various water service authorities. In terms of the financial statements, Chairperson, we have managed to grow the revenue of the organization, and compared to last year, we also were able to this year be able to make a surplus of 42 million compared to the 10.4 million loss that we had in the previous financial year. So some of the actions that we
about 50 million turnaround. Oh no, we had 10 million last year. So 30 million.
30 million turnaround.
Good.
But I think the specific actions that we took to ensure that we effect that related to extensive actions that we had to take as an organization to ensure that, among other things, municipalities that we had the problems with in terms of getting money are starting to make commitments as well as start paying for the current accounts that
I
we...
I see they owe you 200 million.
That is correct.
99.
That is correct, Chairperson. However, what is also important to mention is in order for us to be able to collect all that money, we have managed to, compared to last year, conclude with all those water service authorities that are owing us debt repayment contract or agreement. We had a similar problem with, I'll say, with Bloom Water in that some of the municipalities did not adhere to the agreements. However, as Lepele Northern Water, we took a step a little bit, maybe a further step of not having stop water like it was suggested yesterday. But we had gone for a legal process wherein we engaged our legal teams and lawyers to help us come up with a mechanism of how we can, irrespective of whatever conditions, attach even the assets of those municipalities for us to be able to get the money. But that's a process that we have already got onto. And this actually is a process that came, or a step that we took, after the many consultations, many engagements of both the Department of Water Affairs as well as National Treasury, and even the provincial departments and the Office of the Premier, and basically most of the stakeholders that required to be involved to help us try to get this money from the municipality. And those that are now reneging on those debt repayment agreements, as I say, we have now started with this other process instead of cutting water from those municipalities. But we'll see how far it will take us in this particular case. But Chairperson, I think if you remember last year when we came here, we made a solemn promise that we are going to ensure that those municipalities enter into debt repayment agreements and that they actually start showing
how much
of paying.
If you take all the agreements together, how much did they agree to pay you a month? So how much income should you be getting in now?
All right.
Each month.
Yeah. I think in terms of the agreements that we have, we have managed to ensure that for the current year, which is 2011 and 12, the current accounts are paid up to date. The money that you see on the slide in terms of what is outstanding, the major component is the, what we will call old debt, or the debt before July last year, 2011. And in terms of the agreement, we, on all the municipalities combined, we're looking at in the region of about 35 million rand per month that we should be getting from those municipalities in terms of the commitment for them to repay the old debt. So
that seems reasonable.
Yeah.
I mean, one can go for more, but you probably won't get it. But that seems to be balanced. That seems to be good.
Yeah,
so you got an agreement for them to pay all what's happening now,
yeah.
And then you've got them to say they'll pay at least 35 million a month back from their old debt.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds good. Okay, go on with your input.
Thanks. I think on that particular point, the only assistance that will normally be required for us will be in relation to when they renege, you know, the steps that I've already said we are taking, the sustainability thereof of those particular steps going forward, Chairperson. I just want to, I think I've given a summary of the performance in terms of the other indicators that are non-financial in terms of that particular financial year, but I probably will not spend too much time on this one. I would want to immediately go to the capital infrastructure.
Ah, yes, go there. Make my heart happy if you go there.
We are anticipating and have, for the next 5 years, are looking at expanding our infrastructure extensively, particularly to ensure that the current coverage in terms of the work that we are doing as an organization extends into the areas that last year portfolio committee members expressed a concern about, that there are areas that are not being covered in terms of bulk water services. And those areas for us are in the areas like the Vembe area and all that. There's a map that I will want to share with the committee later on. But in terms of how much we're looking at in the next 5 years, we are anticipating that we'll spend, with all the various funding being sourced from the both the Department of Water Affairs and the mining community that is growing quite extensively in the Limpopo province, and ourselves, to a tune of about 1.7 billion rand in the next 5 years. So those particular projects, Chair, will be spread throughout the province in Phalaborwa, in the areas of Tzaneen, in the areas of Polokwane, and also the very high growing area in the Waterberg area, where there is quite a lot of growth that is happening in that area.
These figures are treasury right. You told us last year you're going to spend 25 million, you then went to spend 60 million.
Chairperson, thank you very much, and that is correct, because you remember last year when we came here, you came very, I think, hard on us.
Is it? That doesn't sound like me.
Yeah. but I think there was a specific expression. Yeah, there was a specific expression by the chairperson and the portfolio committee that we need to up our capital expenditure. Whilst that 24 million rand is what we had in the corporate business plan by that time, which is what the department and the National Treasury has committed to. As a board, we went back and said, what more can we actually do to effect these 24 that we had, and actually put extra projects in to make sure that we can work around that. But, no,
this is his own boys now.
Yeah.
So you got money, you got 35 million more, and you did it.
Oh, yes. I mean, remember, let's put it in perspective. We've got, at the moment, which we reported, reserves in cash sitting at about 431 million rand. but it is true. So, but, I mean, that's the situation. This plan that we have is obviously ambitious as it may be. We need support to be able to obviously get to where we want to go. And if we can manage to turn around the problem that I already presented in terms of collection of this outstanding debt from municipalities, there's quite a lot of things that we can actually achieve
as a province and as an organization. I wanted to share with you...
Let me just, before you go off that point...
Yeah.
Let me just find, can you show me the slide where you reflect the 431 reserves?
Okay, in our annual report, though I'm not sure, maybe on this particular slide.
Surely it must be somewhere on a slide.
Yeah, on balanced sheet. You see the capital and reserves component, that 446 and the 621 for 2011. 431 of that is in cash reserve, Chairperson. So that figure is what we obviously, from a capital point of view, are dependent on and relying on to make sure that we can put it into the infrastructure that we're looking at.
Okay, go on where you were just now.
Thank you. I wanted to share with you this particular map, particularly in line with what we said we want to go and do from a capital expansion point of view. Currently, these areas that I have put on the map is where we are operating as a water board, both potable as well as sewage. Our sewage component is quite very small at the moment, but we obviously looking at a situation where we will be able to expand that. The idea is that with the project that we're going to implement, we will then increase our footprint in the areas of Vembe, where we are currently not operating, but we have the opportunity to actually expand. And Vembe, as you know, is extensively rural and a dense rural area. And by expanding our operations in that particular area, that will ensure that we obviously make the currently unserviced rural component of the province by a water board to be served with bulk water services from water board.
So what you're telling me, you got 431 in reserve, they owe you 200 million, and you're over a 5-year period, you are telling us you're going to do projects of 1.7.
Yes.
Let me a summary of where you're going.
Yes. And that 1.7 billion rand, like what I'm talking about there, will, among other things, ensure that we, as I said, expand into these areas that are extensively rural at the moment and not being covered by a water board.
So Uvembe will be one area.
Uvembe will be one of the areas. The other areas will be in the area of Skukuni, with the help of the big project that we have of the Olifant River Water Development Project, and then the areas in Mupani, the Giani area, which is also not currently covered by the water board, and the extensive work that we need to do in the Waterberg area, which will help us to, hopefully with together with Mahalis, to be able to move into areas like Lepalale with all the growth that is taking place in that particular area and all the anticipated developments that will be taking place there. So in short, if that happens, we're looking at increasing the capacity of the current water board production by around 102 megaliters per day of water that we'll be selling or we will be selling to new customers over that period. And in effect, if I may put it that way, yesterday, Chairperson, there was quite a lot of, I think, comments made about the possibility of having another rand water in South Africa. And with these expansions and all the mines that are happening in Limpopo, we see another water board that is equivalent in size to the current rand water. So it's
I hope
quite
your
very
calories won't increase as quick as, as quick as theirs has increased and so much as theirs has increased.
Yeah. Naturally, those two, they work together. So I'm not going
okay.
to agree
on
that.
The bigger your budget, the more you get paid.
The last comment...
Maybe The politics changing soon. I may be coming to look for a job there, so keep open the spot.
Yeah, and normally that gets to be responded to by chairpersons and not chief executives, but I'll leave that for now. On the last component, which is the bulk water tariff, we have consulted extensively in line with your request that we get the SALGA, National Treasury, Department of Water Affairs, and in fact our water service authorities, and we took it a step further, particularly with industrial clients, though it's not a requirement, but that we will actually get them to consult with us as well regarding these tariffs. There was a point yesterday which I think you mentioned quite strongly for all water boards, the issue that SALGA raised about response to the comment or input they made. You see, with us in Limpopo, and I think the other provinces as well who are not in Gauteng, we also have what you call the provincial SALGA. That's over and above the national SALGA that was being that was making the presentation yesterday. And when we got the comment from SALGA ourselves, we then responded back to the provincial SALGA of SALGA. So probably there might have been some communication between the provincial and the national, which I think is not much of a problem.
I'll teach you a trick. When you send it to the provincial, you just do the CC at the bottom, you send it to national as well, and you've got no complaints anymore.
Yeah, we will obviously work on that, Chair. But I think I just wanted to make sure that I think it was not all the other water boards, because it was as if only Rentwater and some of the other water boards responded to SALGA's input in terms of these particular tariffs. What we generally, Chairperson, are asking for in terms of the bulk water tariff is on an average. Originally, we asked for 8.5% increase average, but because of the 16% reduction in terms of 16% for ESCOM, we then reduced our request to 7.5% increase. Some of the challenges, I think, we have looked at the current challenges that we are faced with, but the major challenge we have is the recollection of money from the municipalities. All these other ones are sector related, which are affecting us as a water board as well. And there are some actions that we are putting in place as proposed solutions to those particular challenges from Lepele's side, which we obviously, with all support by other stakeholders, we will be able to get over those challenges in the near future. I think, Chair, that is all I wanted to present for you, and we will obviously gladly like to engage on some of the questions that will be raised.
I see here towards the end you've got the different municipalities, what they owe.
Yeah, for
these figures are bigger than the ones that Treasury has.
What we have done is we have given the latest figures.
Okay.
For information purposes, but I think the figures that Treasury gave were in respect of the financial year under
review. Yeah.
Yeah.
10-11.
Yes.
All right. So now that's actually a much bigger amount.
Yeah.
346. But some of that's current, right?
Yes, and as I said, we gave the current figures.
It's a lot of money. If you want to become like Rand Water, that money will have to be collected. Okay.
Thank you.
That's the input. It looks like it's going in the right direction. With a leadership that seems to know where they're going. Clearly, to a lesser extent, the same comments we made about capacity will apply here as well. But at least with this water board, you can see that there has been an upward curve on the CAPEX. So there is capacity that's busy growing. Whether they have the capacity to do the whole 1.7 effectively, efficiently, well, time will tell. So I think the department also needs to keep an eye over here. But it does look like everything's going in the right direction with this water board, so it looks good. But let's see if there are questions. Any questions? No. Yes, you ask my homeboys, but you ask these homeboys nothing. All right. No, I think that it's very clear to us that your major issue really is the rear debts, but you are dealing with it efficiently. But I think we need to find more ways of doing it tighter. And, I must tell you that I still think a very simple solution when we sign these agreements is a stop order that is jointly signed by yourselves, the municipality, and even something like the department, so that there is no way that thing can be cancelled. So at least the money flows in all the time and we can find other ways of collecting that. So I think those mechanisms still need to be looked at. So if you do put pressure like you guys are putting the legal pressure on, that now opens the door for them, for you to say to them, okay, we're happy that you do it now, but then you must agree to signing the stop order and so on, so that we can, you know, it gives the legal wages gives you that foot in the door now, okay? But to the board, thank you for keeping a good firm hand there. To all the water board, please keep going in the right direction. This is very exciting. Okay. Now, let me just say, it doesn't matter how well you do. I am still totally and utterly opposed to any form of bonus. So whatever we say, that has not been an endorsement for bonuses. Okay, what's the time? 12 o'clock. Okay, we can still do... Oh, this is going to give us such heartburn for lunchtime. Bushbuck Ridge. Here come the ulcers. Family has different characters in the family. You have the mother, you have a father, and then usually you have a black sheep somewhere in the family. I'm not going to tell you who the black sheep of the water board family is. But what I can tell you is that Bushbuck Ridge, remember last time we had a rather stormy meeting with them. But we then met them in the Kruger Park, where they came and presented their turnaround strategy to us. So we have had an occasion since the last portfolio meeting to sit down with them in the Kruger Park and to engage with the turnaround strategy. If I recall correctly, we were quite happy with what was in the turnaround strategy, but we weren't sure to what extent it was going to materialize. So we now have Bushbuck Ridge here to come and tell us how the turnaround strategy has materialized, and how they can give us a perfect clean record of everything they've done. I know they're going to give us a good report today. I've got a feeling about it. I don't know. It feels in my bones if this is going to be a good turnaround strategy. So that's where we are.
So let's see what they present to us. Who is from the board? Who's going to tata Kuluma from the board?
I'm the chairperson of the board. Greeting to members. As a board, my name is Pat Ngongwane. Going with the board members here, deputy chairperson of the board, Mr. Vilakazi, who is heading technical services, Ms. Caroline, who is heading finance, and is a chartered accountant, and Ms. CE and other members of management. Let me greet the chairperson. I think it's fine. I'm going to do that, but I've been sitting here. It becomes very hard to me when we introduce and say I must indicate me. But I'm going to do so. CE, who is Mr. Mashele, CFO, Mapolova, and Board Secretary River and Radiman. These are our colleagues who are going with me. Anyway, I must also indicate in my introduction that it's very much important before I introduce the presentation to the CE to indicate that as a board we had a turnaround strategy which was introduced to the portfolio committee in Kruger National Park in July 2011. In that turnaround strategy, I must indicate that in the absence of funding assistance, 80% of illegal connection, which had been indicated by that turnaround strategy, investigation has been completed. Identified metering points and ordered some meters also had been finalized. The finalization of projects is dependent on the transfer of the funds from DOA, which has not been received as yet. As a board, we receive unqualified reports. Assistance offered by national government still not enough, receiving from the department, specifically from DOA and National Trust. Assistance from provincial government, we are receiving a very good support from COPTA and other departments, which we implemented projects amounting to plus minus 23 million, which we delivered them in record time. A full report is going to be indicated by the presentation, which is going to be given by the CE, Mr. Mashab. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, for the opportunity. It will always be difficult for another problem child with challenges to present after the fairness. So I think really they put a yardstick for us, but we'll try to do that. Chairperson, when we appeared before this committee a year ago, you came hard on us. We were given a very big task because the report that we presented before you was not presenting. You given us a task to go and develop a turnaround strategy, which later we met with you 2 months later at the Kruger Park, where we again presented our intentions to implement the turnaround strategy. The turnaround strategy, Chairperson, that we developed, it's focused on five key areas. The first area is the huge debt that is sitting on our accounts. The main culprit being our biggest client, the Fish Market Local Municipality, that we supply. I must mention, Chairperson, that by the end of June last year, our debt was sitting at 208 million, which was an increase by 41 million from the previous reporting financial year. But I must also mention, Chairperson, that the main cause of that increase in the debt was because we have entered into the agreement with, into the debt payment agreement with the municipality for them to pay us a flat rate on the current account. The flat rate of 6 million vis-a-vis roughly 8.5 million that we're charging them a month. So that represents roughly only 70% of the invoice that they are paying. So obviously that difference, it accumulated and then it ended up with an increase of about 41 million. Over and about the issue of the debt, Chairperson, the municipality has signed the acknowledgement of debt of 190 million. The base month for that debt was as of December 2010. The agreement is that the municipality is acknowledging the full 190 million, but committing to starting with the payment towards the 95 million, which is half of the 190 million. The payment of the 90 million will be done in installments of 5 million rand per month, starting as from January this year, which means for the current financial year, we're expecting to collect 30 million towards the 95 million that they committed to be paid. But however, Chairperson, we have started billing them towards that net of the 5 million. To date, out of the amount of 20 million that is due to date, they've managed to pay us 13 million, which equals about 65% of the total that they were supposed to pay.
So just may I understand, you've signed something that they are supposed to pay 70% of the current account, plus they're paying 5 million of the outstanding debt each month.
That's correct.
Why only 70% of the current?
Chairperson, I think as we go, we'll come to the issue of the metering, which is also part of our turnaround strategy, because there was a long dispute concerning our metering points, which we are currently undertaking a project with them. I think the following two slides will be covering
okay.
That meter.
Okay, let's get there.
But we are continuously engaging with the municipality to ensure that we are able to reach our target of the 5 million that are promised for on a monthly basis. But this payment of 5 million is only applicable up to the end of June, of which we'll need to revise the installment amount which they have to pay as from July onwards. But we can see there's still some challenges in meeting that obligation of the 5 million. The other debt, Chairperson, which is giving us this last night, is the debt left by the disestablished Buhlabela District Municipality to the amount of 26 million, which at the moment there is still a dispute between the municipality, the Bushbuck Ridge Municipality, which is the successor entirely of the Buhlabela District Municipality as far as water services supply is concerned, and the Eshanzeni District. Seeing that we are unable to make a breakthrough with it, we have decided to engage the services of the debt collector. The third debt chairperson, which we resolved, is only that we resolved after the end of the financial year, was for the Mombela municipality, which they managed to settle in full. I must say that Mombela, their debts are not like sitting for very long in our books, but they do make the payments later than the 30 days. That's why it appeared as a debt at the date of when we closed our books. The other aspect of the turnaround strategy was addressing our lack of long-term service level agreement with our clients, both of them. During that period, we managed to engage with both the Water Services Authority, whereby the Bushbuckridge Local Municipality initially promised to enter into a 10-year service level agreement with us. They did pass a resolution in that regard, but we had some challenges when it came to the signing. We ended up agreeing to signing a three-year supply with a possible extension of the five-year contract. And then we'll see after that if we can still be able to go back to the 10-year agreement that we initially reached. We established a team of officials that is jointly managing this contract and to pave way in extending that term of the contract. With Mombela Municipality, we were operating on month-to-month contract for too long. We ultimately managed to convince the municipality to cancel the month-to-month contract, and they passed a resolution to give us a five-year contract. They've offered us a draft five-year contract, which the board is about to consider now, and we're hoping that that five-year contract will be signed before the end of this financial year. The next aspect is our ability to implement infrastructure projects. We are currently, Chairperson, in the process of compiling a 20-year capital infrastructure plan. Obviously, this will have to go hand-in-hand with the contracts that we are signing with the municipalities. It was difficult for us to agree on a plan of which we did not know whether we'll be able to enter into this contract or not. But we are in the process of compiling this 20-year plan. And also over and above that, Chairperson, when we were at the Kruger National Park, we have made an indication that we're entering into a contract with COCTA and the Department of Water Affairs to start implementing capital water infrastructure project on their behalf as an agent. We did receive the amount of $23 million from COCTA in the current financial year, and also an amount of $4.5 million from the Water Affairs. I have to report, Chairperson, that we managed to complete this project in record time. We only started implementing it about November, but as we speak, and then these projects are already completed. And the issue of the capacity that was out there when we were entering into this contract was addressed, and we excelled in terms of our implementation. The next aspect is the beefing up our internal capacity as far as human resource is concerned, because when we appeared previously, we had a lot of vacancies at management level. As I speak, Chairperson, I must report that we have managed to fill all the vacancies at management level. So our vacancy rate is zero now at the top management level. We filled all those positions as listed. There was an issue on the metering, Chairperson, as you asked. Why did we agree to only a 70% payment vis-à-vis the total invoice that we're billing them? At the moment, we're still billing them from the production level, which is at the plant. We we agreed with the municipality to undertake a project where we have to jointly agree on the metering points that will suit both of us as contracted parties. We have appointed a service provider because one of the dispute was that the municipality was arguing that the amount of water that we are alleging that we're billing them, they are not receiving all of it. But they didn't have any information to substantiate that because they also do not have any metering facilities at the level at which we're supplying them with water at the outtake of their reservoir. The service provider has completed 80% of the work of the identification of those pipelines that need to be metered. And as we're going, we identify jointly identifying those.
What areas. Has he done? Is he identified where it must be metered, or has he metered 80%?
No, the actual putting of the meter hasn't happened. This 80% is that study, the investigation. But as we completing a section, we agree on a metering point, we place an order for that particular meter.
So how much? So you've agreed to 80% of what must be metered, but how much has actually been metered?
No, in terms of actual putting of the meter, it's still zero. The meters are still
zero.
On order. We have placed the order for the meters already. But Chairperson, it's critical to note that as the water board, we'll only be able to meter few areas because there are a lot of areas that need to be metered. There is a project that I hope will be discussed here, which is funded by the Water Affairs. A large portion of this metering should be coming from that funding. We have projected an amount of $2.5 million that's supposed to be assisting with putting the physical meters on the ground. So that's why we're saying, even though we're projecting that we'll finalize this project by June this year, the finalization of that project is largely dependent on the availability of those funds to be spent on those meters. Even though we have placed the orders for the meters, but it's still at risk on us because we might not be able
to. Gogo, Vuka, get away. Have we agreed to fund this project?
Yes, sir.
Is the money on our budget?
Yes.
Why haven't they got it yet?
The negotiations around the conditions took longer and delayed the transfer of the money.
Conditions? Negotiations on what conditions? With who? You don't have to negotiate with the water board. You just tell them. What's the problem? What did you want to negotiate with them?
Chair, there were lots of conditions. Like they had to have the separate bank account in terms of the dedicated interest account, and there was also supposed to be an agreement between all the parties involved, including the board and 11 decision, and also with us. So there were lots of things, and also the feasibility and feasibility report that was required. So there were lots of things that we had to finish before the money was transferred.
What hasn't been met yet?
As of yesterday, we heard that the contract has been signed between Rainwater and the water board. So I think by yesterday.
Are they putting in the meters? Identifying and putting them in?
Yes.
Is that Rainwater?
Yes.
So that's been signed?
In partnership.
Okay. So what else is not done yet until we can give them the money to actually start doing the work? They want it ready by June.
Yes.
Are we ready to give them the money so they can get it done by June?
Yes.
Everything's been done?
Yes.
Finance?
Yes,
sir. Everything done. So when you walk out here, it's just a question of transferring the money. Is that right? Is that right? Is that right?
quickly, caucus, quickly. Tell me, when they walk out here, is the money going to be deposited that we can give it to Rand Water to start putting in the meters?
The approval of the rollover, because remember the money was supposed to come in during the last financial year and we couldn't use it because it did not meet the end of March deadline. So for this year, National Treasury still needs to approve the rollover by end of May.
Yeah, but Cici, we must do it quicker, man. I mean, it's like it's now May already. I mean, surely they're going to roll it over or they're not going to roll it over. It's not like scientists, rocket science. I mean, Treasury's sitting here, they listening to everything. You must use your contacts. Ms. Haskell can go and see where this has to happen. Mr. Machite can go and see where these things must be happened. But if we're all happy now, men, please. Cici?
Yes.
Oh my. I mean, they're telling me these things, 80% has been identified and 80% can be installed. You know what big change that makes from what we've had previously? That takes you from a black sheep to a gray sheep. You need one more rain, they become a white sheep. So we're starting to get them into the gray already, but we must move quicker. If there are problems, we must know about these. This should have all been approved already, if it's a rollover.
Yes.
Okay. All right, go ahead with where you were. So basically now, with the problem in Bushbuck Ridge, you guys have agreed with the municipality, with Randwater and yourself, that you've now checked 80% and you've identified them. You've ordered the meters for that 80%. There's 20% left. Now tell me about the 20%.
Yeah, Chairperson, the only thing that we need to extract from that statement is that we are not doing it with Randwater at the moment. Because Randwater is waiting for the finalization of this funding part, is then that they will come on board. That's why we had to take a risk as a water board to start with this project, because we couldn't wait. I mean, we waited.
Who's done it?
We are doing it ourselves as the water board with the municipality. We appointed a service provider that is assisting us in that regard. We're just hoping that we'll be refunded our money.
But are we correct that service provider is now not going to install, that Rand's going to install?
No. Like, Randwater is coming to assist Bushbuck Ridge. It's a resource to us as Bushbuck Ridge Water. So we are agreeing with Randwater on what they're supposed to be doing on the ground, because exactly what the service provider is doing, that's what the Randwater was supposed to come and do. It's exactly the implementation plan that we had previously.
I want to be sure when we leave here,
yeah,
the department thinks that they're going to give money to Randwater when it's rolled over to do this job. Are we 100% sure that this job hasn't been given to another service provider?
Chairperson, the investigation into the areas where we have to meter, as the water board, we appointed a service provider to do that for us. And because
you're paying them separately on your own money.
That's what I'm saying. We have to take a risk.
You're paying them separately.
Yeah.
Chief, it's an easy answer.
Yeah.
You're now talking long stories. You now sound like a Nduna sitting there under the tree. And you now want to talk. You're now here in a legal meeting. I want swift answers. You've taken your own money to move the project. We applaud you for that. But that is to identify those points.
Yeah.
But when the money now comes, that money is going to go to Randwater to actually do them. And there's not a conflict of interest here that you promise another service provider to do this. Okay. That's all that I wanted to know. Then we clarity. Then there can't be a complaint later from the department that there was a problem with service providers. Okay. Now tell me about the other 20. What are we going to do about the other 20%?
We are about to complete that. We're continuing as we speak.
You still got your service provider and they're identifying the 20.
Yeah.
What is the target for that they're going to be finished?
I think by the end of May, the investigation should be finished.
So by end of May, they would have then identified.
Yeah.
And then we would have everywhere where their meters should go.
Yes.
Then it's a question of getting that money and putting the meters in.
Yes.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Do I understand it correctly?
Yeah.
Okay. And because of that, you're still only charging Bushbuck Grid 70% because there's no meters yet. So there's a logical reason for that. And you've then got agreement for the back payment in place as well. But that is now starting to not work well as well. So I'm understanding the picture correctly. Okay. So, all right. So we understand that. Now let's go quickly to your financial statements and see where you are.
Chairperson, on slide 12, Chairperson, just to indicate that we are improving in terms of our revenue collection. But even though our revenue has gone up, Chairperson, we're still operating at a deficit of 12 million. But the reason for that is that we previously under budgeted on the provision of the doubtful debt. So we increased our provision, putting us in that position that we're currently sitting with a deficit of 12 million. But we are hoping, Chairperson, that with the next financial statement, if we begin to recover fully on our invoice, and then we up our rate on the collection of the old debt, and then that deficit will slowly go up.
Okay, I see that there's a 12 million deficit, but you know what worried me about your, if you looked at what Treasury's analysis they gave us, in fact, your revenue has grown by 22%, which is quite amazing. But the big problem is that your costs have grown by 49%. Talk to us. What on earth has gone wrong?
Chairperson, our cost has grown by 49%. If you check from the very same presentation on provision of doubtful debts, previously we provided only 15 million. At the current, at the year under review, we provided almost 41 million. In total, that 41 million, it comes to almost that 49% increase. What we did, we considered the current agreement with the municipality as far as the long-term outstanding debt is concerned, and we made a provision of that 41 million just to cater for that. It's not basically writing off the debt, but taking into account
that. But this is costs. The growth of your costs is 49%. Ms. Haskell, am I right? The figure I've got here?
Yeah.
Just explain what the growth is as far as you're concerned. Clearly, we're talking apples and pears here.
Provision of debt,
bad debt. And you include that under cost.
Yeah,
so, how many bad debts did you write off?
41 million. We didn't write off, as we provided. We provided for doubtful debt. We didn't write off anything yet.
Hey, I'll never understand accounting. Never. I mean, cost to me is cost. Then you go and take a bad debt somewhere, you now come and put it under cost. I mean, I can't think how that can be the right way to deal with it. But you see, that's why I don't get the big bucks, that's why. If I understood that, I would get big bucks as well, like the Treasury staff and officials and so on. And that is increase.
In other words, Chairperson, if you check on the earnings before interest, tax, and depreciation amortization, what it says is that if we wouldn't have considered that 41 million, we would have been in a profit margin. So it's because of that 41 million that makes us to have.
And what bad debt is this?
We considered the provision on 100% of the 26 million, including the long outstanding debt of the Bushbuck Ridge local municipality debt. That is part of the.
Why are the other water boards not doing it like this? Why are you guys doing it like this?
They are doing it like that, Chairperson. It's just that it depends on the rate in which they are right. They are providing that
this 26 million that you're busy collecting, you've written that off as a bad debt, or you put it under bad debt.
We provide it. We are not writing it off. What we do, we just provide for it to say there is a probability for us to not to recover this amount of money. If
and the other 15, what is that?
The other part of it is Bushbuck Ridge, local municipality.
What of Bushbuck Ridge? Just their general debt?
Yes, the whole 208 million that they are owing us, we made a provision on that amount of money.
For 15?
Yes.
Of the 208?
Yes. Because there is currently an agreement of 190. So,
yeah,
the other part
I don't understand why we're putting 15 million, but okay, again, this is just me. But I must say, I have great difficulty understanding this. Great difficulty. I understand the one on the 26, because you may get it back, you may not get it back. But I'm not understanding the 15 million. If they owe you 190 million, they've signed an agreement to it, why are we putting it under bad debts? They signed an agreement.
Can I maybe try and respond? I think from an audit perspective, you need to remember, you need to look at recoverability as well on that debt. You have a municipality, does the municipality have the funds to actually, even though they signed a piece of paper that says we'll pay you this, do they have the capability of actually doing that? So from an audit perspective, and if you recall, in the previous year, we had audit.
Why did you choose 15 million over there? If you think they can't pay it back, why don't you put the whole 208?
I think it's a negotiation process for the auditors, what they're comfortable with and what we're comfortable with in terms of what
you agreed with your auditors on 15?
They were comfortable with that. And if you remember, we had a qualification in terms of, in the previous year, I think it was a qualification on the value of the bad debt provision that we had in. They weren't happy with it. And this year we basically sat around the table and said, okay, well, what is it that we're going to be comfortable with?
I don't like this at all. This, no, I don't like. But go ahead. Go ahead. Let's move on.
Okay,
that's a financial statement. I think we've got an idea of them. What did you say? You've got a clean audit report.
No, an unqualified opinion.
Emphasis of matter.
Emphasis of matter. Yeah.
Okay, what are the emphasis?
The emphasis of matter, Chairperson, is on the issue of the transfer of assets, which we are currently working with the department to put that to finality. There are still two assets that are still sitting in the books of the water assets that we're requesting that they be transferred to us. The rest of the assets, for now, we have agreed to enter into a long-term finance lease with the municipality for us to operate those assets. So, but there's still those two assets that are not yet transferred, which we're still negotiating with the department. And then, Chairperson, there's also a report on other legal and
those legal issues, okay. It's clear, it's written there.
Yeah.
What is predetermined objective? It says information.
This is the performance, Chairperson. The performance of the water board. The objective, predetermined objective that the water board.
Report. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's clear. We can ask questions. Strategic objective is not worth much. Not worth the paper it's written on. Annual performance. Okay, CAPEX.
Chairperson, we made a provision for about 11 million on CAPEX for that financial year. But unfortunately, we were only able to spend 1.8 million from that 11 million, which is only 18%. But the reason for that, Chairperson, was due to the cash in hand that we had at that time. Obviously, if you look at the amount that we are currently failing to recover between what we're invoicing and what we're collecting, already this amount that we're supposed to spend on the capex is already absorbed there.
Already a deficit.
So it's due to the cash flow constraint that we are not able to spend this. The 1.8 million that was spent was mostly on the movable assets that we're using on a day-to-day basis to run our business. The table that Chairperson is just a
break. If I'm right, then last year you guys did absolutely nothing as far as infrastructure.
Only minor refurbishment here and there.
All right, so we understand the CAPEX. Is it worth telling us what's going into the future, seeing that there's no money? Is it worth telling us what, is it worth listening to another 10, 20 million CAPEX, which you can't do because you're in deficit?
Not
so all these CAPEX projects already you had last year, you haven't done them, so they're again there.
No, Chairperson, the ones on the table, these are the capital projects that we implemented on behalf of the provincial department. They were funded by COCSA. We were implementing this project as an agent for the provincial government. These ones we have implemented to the value of 26.5 million.
Okay, it's not your budget.
But this is not the budget that is coming from us, it's coming from someone. Yeah.
So you did some stuff for local government. Okay.
Local government.
So actually, you didn't do nothing.
You did
nothing on your own budget, but you did something on other people's budget.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, this is how you run government, eh? All right. Strategic objective, that doesn't help us much without money and nothing there. Align with water board and the strategy. It doesn't help to align because there's no money and there's no CAPEX. Okay. Tell us how much is your increase, your tariff structure. Say a little bit about that.
Chairperson, we have recommended an increase of 5% on the pushback risk local municipality side. Unfortunately, we were unable to finalize the contract with Mobela in time. That's why at the moment there's nothing put forward for Mobela because we're only going to maybe sign the contract in May, end of late May or in June. So this tariff only applies to the Bushbuck Ridge local municipality. But if this 5% is approved as we have a requested Chairperson, like I previously mentioned, it means in the next financial year we're projecting that we can move from the deficit of 12 million to a surplus of 7.9 million in terms of this tariff. But there's no infrastructure capex built into this.
So basically what you're saying is you're hoping to turn around on the deficit?
Yes.
There's no money for new CAPEX. What you are trying to hope is to get this money from the department to sort out the meters.
Yes.
And then there may possibly be more work from COCSA during the year, which you'll do if there is. But other than that, there's no money at all for any CAPEX project other than to sort out what it has to be sorted out, the problem.
That's correct.
That's summing up the...
Yeah, that's correct, Chairperson. And also the consideration was based on the assumption that the municipality, as from the beginning of the next financial year, they will be paying us the full invoice. So they will no longer pay the 70% because we're hoping to finalize the metering by June.
Some but that's income. That's
income.
Not yet spending on CAPEX.
Yes.
I mean, you don't have a CAPEX.
Yeah.
You don't have a CAPEX. Right, so the people of Mpumalanga are going to cry because there's no CAPEX for this year. All right, quickly the challenges.
On the challenges, Chairperson, I think we have said much about the municipality, but what we have identified as the biggest challenge with Bush Municipality, Chairperson, is the fact that they are not budgeting adequately for the water services. When we were at the Kruger Park in July last year, you did request our partners, Treasury and Department of Water Affairs, to assist us with checking whether the municipality is is utilizing their equitable shares for water in line with the guidelines, if there are any. But we were unable to establish that. But the conclusion that we have reached is that the municipality is currently not budgeting adequately for the water services. Because even with the 5 million for the debt that they are paying, they had to adjust the budget in January in order for them to be able to start paying us. In the previous financial year, they didn't have any provision at all towards their historic debt.
Well, if I was a municipality, I'm sitting paying nothing. When I draw my budget, I say they never charged me, so I won't put any money in there for the budget. Problem is, that was happening. But in any case, we understand, we're here. And then the infrastructure you've spoken about, and then the risk of technical insolvency, well, that's a real one. So those are the challenges. Look, I think that if we compare where you were last year this time, I suppose there's no doubt that we can say there's some forward movement on what's happening. It just saddens me, of course, that the movement is so slow. I mean, I don't know what to say more in these meetings. My mind just boggles the fact that we know there's a problem. We know there's a problem with Busbuck Ridge. And Ms. Torgo still comes and tells us they must still get Treasury to roll over the money. It just flabbergasts me. I just sit here and think to myself, you know, why do we actually have these meetings? It's nice, it's informative, we're getting to hear all the bad news. But I don't know how to get it across to people that, you know, if you say we're going to sort, and you hear the committee is strongly angry with the fact that Busbuck Ridge is not sorting itself out, and we get people to get a turnaround set, and we say we're now going to do this stuff. And then still to come in here and say, well, you know, yes, we've committed to the money, but we're still trying to get permission to roll it over. I just gasp. Because I can't understand what else must we do. Must we actually start beating people up physically to get them to start doing things, to move faster? Because, you know, I mean, it's difficult to give a prognosis about this water board other than let us try and get them to sort out the connections so we can then decide on their future. That's almost the only prognosis you can give. When the rationalization comes, clearly Bushrak Ridge is one of the ones we're going to have to consider. Because there's, for all intents and purposes, we're now sending you away here, Toko. We're now sending this water board away here. And do you know what they have to do in the whole next year with all the money we spent on them for their salaries and so on? We not got a single CAPEX project that we can say is going to be put up in Mpumalanga. That's what we're saying to these people when they leave here. We're saying to them, go back and just sort out, you've now identified 80, you will identify the other 20 by the end of May. Let's hope to God that the Department of Water Affairs gets the money to be rolled over. I'll be on my knees every night to ask for this. That hopefully we can sort out the problem in Busbuck Ridge, and then it's a question of deciding how do we rationalize Busbuck Ridge. That's actually where we are at that low level, at the lowest level possible you can be. So, you know, yeah. It's just for me, I don't know, sometimes I cry in this job. Because you can't get, with all the best intentions, you just can't get people to move and to provide our people with the services they deserve. We just don't seem to be able, nothing we do seems to be able to get people to get so far and do it. Any questions from the committee? Ms. Wenger, Mrs. Kosana, Ms. Chotse.
Thank you, Chair. I sympathize with Busbuck Ridge Water because I think that they're sitting with their backs against the wall. If the department is not prepared to assist them, it's very difficult for them to function correctly. If you look at the asset register, since 2000, 12 years down the line, the assets have not been transferred. Somebody must be held accountable for it. It cannot continue like that. What I would like to know also about the meters. I can understand that this problem is not being solved and the bath meters are going to be put in and a point agreed on where it's going to be measured from. But how is that going to affect the outstanding debt if that the meters presently are in dispute. If you take, if you challenge it in court or anything like that, are those figures going to be acceptable if the municipalities do not agree on the point of entering their area of jurisdiction in order to meter it? For me, it's a problem because I don't understand if you're only going to be working on it now. And does it mean that the other 95 million is going to be disputed and not paid? I think it's for me a problem.
I think the lucky thing there is, since last year, they've now got the municipality to sign that they owe 190 at least.
It is, but
so now we at least got a legal document for 190 of them, but that's still not all the money.
No.
But at least it's 190. That's as I understand it. Then they have a separate arrangement within the agreement for the 95. But at least they've got them to acknowledge 190. But sorry, I just wanted to make that clear, Ms. Wenger. You can go on with your question.
Thank you very much. However, I think, Chair, yes, I agree with you. But I think that there is that point of debate as to where actually it's going to be rooted from. And anything that's outside of that can be in dispute, because the agreement is not there as to the point of entry into the municipality. Yesterday when we spoke about bad debt, you were talking about particularly the 41 million that you made provision for. You were told that you cannot write amount, cannot be written off. If that's still the same story today, I'm just trying to find out, seeing that you're making provision for it. Thank you, Chair.
You're going to have a clever answer there. The clever answer is we're not writing it off, we're putting it under our cost, and then we're inflating our cost up to 49%. That's the clever answer they're going to give you. Why they do that, I don't know. But in any case, I'll let them give you the clever answer. They'll say it cleverer than me. Mr. Skozana.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I've forgotten to tell you that today is my birthday, but to hearing that news from my own voice.
It's your birthday today?
Yeah.
on such a sad day.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Oh, thanks, Jeff.
It's nice to be 25 again. I wish I was
there. Yeah. No, it's 50, oh. It's 50 now. It's 50 now.
Oh, you're still a young boy.
Chair, what can I give an input on? It's on the depth of the de-established Botshabelo district municipality. I should think here we've got a legal framework that speaks to the de-establishment of the institutions. If a certain institutions take over the operation of that de-established institution, I should think all those problems belong to that particular institution. I should think now Bushbuck Ridge Municipality is responsible for all the debts and the problems of the then established municipality. I should think politically and administratively we need to deal with this matter. At that level, politically and administratively, we need to deal with that matter. The water department, the water affairs department, and our political hierarchy in the province, and those who are deployed there by the department, they need to deal with this matter. Because it cannot be a matter of this water board vis-a-vis the de-established municipality, because there is nobody there. Everything is handed over to the current municipality. Then another issue, Chairperson, I should think, if they are reporting, is the financial muscle. Really, we sympathize with you. It's the financial muscle and it's a problem. And you can't move without money. But bit by bit, I should think you'll go forward, try and work hard. Because your movement is very slow. That's why such input from the committee. And the lack of management staff, I should think also is part of your problem. But now, after you have appointed this staff, this management staff, I should think you will be able to deal with your matters now. Because you must have people who are interacting with various departments, especially the finances. financial officer always interacting with the department so that they can pay their debts, and whoever, management and what, technical and whoever, should think this appointment of staff, it can assist you a lot. So all the best, continue your work, but really it's difficult, you must pull up yourself if you want to survive. Thanks.
I think the death certificate on the desk is just ready to be signed. Marto Tetsi?
I think honorable member, covered me extensively on capacity. I was also tempted to ask for time frame, but I don't think for now do the same question really, looking at capacity here, differences on capacity. So for now, give some leniency until we get there.
Okay, can we respond to those issues being raised?
Yeah, Chairperson, on the issue that was raised by the member, on metering points, to say that are we still going to get the same amount that we are saying the municipality is owing us? I must confidently say yes, because the current results of the study, it indicates between 2% and 5% losses in the system where the municipality wants us to build them. And if you look into those losses, they eventually go to the municipality. That's where we need to put other meters, meaning that from the plant to the reservoirs, they need a meter at the reservoir. Thereafter, there are other connections on the rising main. We'll have to put meters on those areas too so that they can be built. So in a nutshell, from what the results that we got, it says the losses are between 2% and 5%, and water is consumed. There is too much water consumed before it could reach the reservoir. The provision for doubtful debt, I must say that basically it depends on our agreement, because from the recalculation of the whole debt going forward, it will depend how do we agree with the municipality, looking at their financial muscles and so on. And assessments still need to be done. But it's still a process again to write off that amount, even if we provided for 20
million. Can we just quickly, the woman in our committee must go to a women's caucus. So can I just interrupt you? You know, because we've changed the date for our debate to next Wednesday, of course we must pass a report before then. Now the staff have taken the initiative, and I've not looked at it, but some members have looked at it. There is a report ready here that we need to pass at 2 o'clock this afternoon when we come back. So, Ma, before you leave, just take this copy with you and try and just page through it if you can. Some members have read through it. It's not controversial. It's just a very bland report. But unfortunately, that's all we can do before next Wednesday. There's nothing else we can do. So please just have a look at that, members, particularly those women that are leaving. Then after lunch, we'll come and quickly just pass that report. And we've got two reports left from small water boards, Pella Drift and Borcello. So we will be finished early today, okay? So we can just be back at 2 o'clock for those that have to leave. All right, can we, the rest of us, can we listen to those answers you give? Thank you.
Chairperson, I was saying that it depends on the agreement, and it's still a process again to write off the debt. That will be determined by the agreement that we'll receive when we negotiate with the municipality. Obviously, you can look at 208 million. It's almost 90-95% of the budget of the municipality. So it depends how we negotiate with the municipality.
You see, my problem is, and I think that's Ms. Wenger's problem as well, and the other water boards are not doing it, is once there are people amongst you that will talk to the municipality, and they will hear that the 26 million and the 15 million have been put under expenses. So already they know in your mind, 41 you're just going to write off. So that's the problem with your tactic. It looks, you know, it doesn't enhance your situation one bit. It pushes up your cost up to 49%. It doesn't enhance your negotiating strategy with the municipalities. And you can't write it off. So I don't know who came up with the strategy, but it's not a good one. It's really not a good one. Because, I mean, I know that already the Bushbuckridge municipality knows that 41 million has been put under bad debt. So, and all of us know what it means when you put it under bad debt. So that's why I'm saying it's a very bad strategy. It's not going to give you any results, and in fact, it just messes up your ratios completely. A little bit you could have done well, it messes that up as well. So I think that's the issue. But you've done it. There's not much we can do about it. All that we can tell you is that we think it wasn't very clever. Okay. Are there anything else that you still have to answer?
Yeah, I think on the issues in relation to other issues that were raised by the members, because I think we take note of that. We'll go back and then try to sort out those issues. Since then, we even went as far as getting these 26 million to be recovered. Not to say we've dumped it. We still want to recover that amount of money. Thank you.
Okay. Now, look, the only thing that's important here, Ms. Toko, fella forward, whatever. Fella forward that I can see you. Fella Pambili. I don't want to hear any excuses. I want a report on my desk before Friday next week. So I'll let you work over the long weekend. I want a report on my desk about this money that has to go to Bushbuck Ridge. Everything in there must be, you must explain to the committee exactly how that money is going to be given. When have you applied to Treasury? By when do you expect an answer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, so that we know. That I want by next Friday on my desk, so that we can make sure that you're doing something about getting this money sorted out. Because at this moment, this water board, it only exists for one reason, to sort out that problem. They've got no budget for CAPEX, they've got no budget for anything else. So unless you as the department sort that issue out now, get that money, get it to Rand Water, and for them to put in those meters, this structure is not viable. It's not viable. The only thing that I'm happy with, and it's a negative happiness I have, a lot of your R big projects that you've got in different other water boards, you dumped on the water boards to go and do when they haven't. Thank God you haven't done it with these ones. That's all I can say. Thank God that you haven't done it with this water board, that it solved this problem first. So, please, we need that sorted out. Then to the water board itself, although, obviously, one can't be too glowing about, but there's definitely a lot of good things that you've done since last that we met. So it's not all gloom and good doom. But the problem is, when I sit here and I listen to the water board, it is really a case on the emergency table of the hospital. Obviously, Minister and them will have to look going forward how we rationalize and how we do things. But one thing I do think is important that all of us, that at least we put the house in order before whatever decision is made. If you exist further as a water board, that's fine. Then hopefully they'll be giving you the capacity. But if not, we need to sort out this issue. And that's why, Toko, it's so important that you make this your priority, to sort it out. Okay? That one and the other one of the meeting with Sedibeng. Those two must be sorted out so we can get these things right. Okay. Thank you very much, Bushbuck Ridge. Thanks for all the hard work for the board and for the officials. As I say, in comparison with our report last year, this is a far step forward that we've got. Thanks a lot. I mean, you've taken the initiative, for example, to get your own service provider while you were waiting. That should all be applauded. Thanks. Okay. All right. Can we quickly come back at 2 o'clock? As I said, I expect this meeting to end earlier than anticipated, 5 o'clock. We'll come back. We'll do the report. Hopefully, I'll also have a chance to read it now in the lunch. Then we'll quickly do the other two water boards, and then there'll be a little summary at the end, and that'll be it. So we'll be leaving early. Okay. Thank you very much. Don't worry, I understand. But I just think that in the end of the day, you're undermining yourself with your municipality. I'm not saying it's wrong to do it, but the others don't do it. No, they haven't. Not a single other water board has put their under a process.
That's why all the water board costs look very good, except for the group. No, it's easy. If you take 41 million and you add it to your cost, then clearly your cost is going to be different. So no other water board puts it like that. So it puts it under cost, and now it looks like I look at it when I look at it. That's all I'm saying, but I accept it's been done. Rebecca, give me a copy of the report.
No, that's not.